Volvo Maintenance and Repair Shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Chris Mavridis, and he's...
Clarence Raymond Nagin, Jr., otherwise known as C. Ray Nagin.
And he's the mayor of New Orleans, again.
We've been through many hard trials.
He took the oath for his second term on this first day of the hurricane season and promised the government would be better prepared.
No one else does evacuating better than us. We've had lots of practice.
He talked of the challenge of recovery from last year's Hurricane Katrina.
We will rebuild New Orleans.
But he said it will take time and a dedication on the part of the people to overcome the worst natural disaster this city has ever seen. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, New Orleans.
As Cammie mentioned, this is the first day of the hurricane season, and in New Orleans, there's worry. Will it be hit again, and will those levees hold? The Army Corps of Engineers says they've got a better shot this time.
The report says that bad data was used to construct the levees that were poorly designed and badly engineered, and that's why they failed. But the Army Corps of Engineers is optimistic for the future.
I would say the outlook for New Orleans looks very, very good.
Colonel Louis Setliff says they've already repaired or replaced 60% of the flood protection system surrounding New Orleans and plan to continue improving it. Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
Preparing for terror means spending lots of government money. Washington was hit, so was New York City. So why is the Big Apple getting less federal funding while places like Louisville, Kentucky get more? Homeland's chief, Michael Chertoff, says it's about spending and spreading the wealth.
If you look at the cumulative funding we've taken here, this is an approach that's been fair not only to New York, but to all the other cities that we need to make sure are capable of protecting its own citizens.
But Louisville? What do they need cash for?
It gives us the capability throughout the region, on both states, both Kentucky and Indiana, throughout approximately 20, 23 counties, to be able to have interoperability, meaning communications for police, fire, EMS.
That's Jerry Abrams, mayor of Kentucky, who's obviously happy today. New York's mayor says he got stiffed. A stiff penalty could be in the future for Sergeant Santos Cardona, an Army guard at Abu Ghraib. CBS's Barry Bagnato says the guard was found guilty today of abusing prisoners.
Cardona has been convicted of two charges, including assaulting a detainee with his unmuzzled Belgian Shepherd. He could go to prison for 3.5 years. With military precision, his sentencing hearing already is underway. His former company commander, Lieutenant Colonel Randolph White, says Cardona is an excellent soldier. Cool, calm, collected under fire, as he put it. Someone who's staying strong in the face of what he calls a national stigma.
There is some good news to report on the condition of CBS News correspondent Kimberly Dozier. She's now off the ventilator that's been helping her breathe since Monday's roadside attack in Baghdad. Tech companies had a great day. That boosted stocks on Wall Street. The Dow was up nearly 92 points, and NASDAQ was up 41. This is CBS News.
Somewhere between what a person is saying and what they're not saying, between what a person wants and what they need, lies understanding. For every client, everywhere, UBS has the distinct ability to listen. But more importantly, the commitment to understand. UBS, leader in wealth management, global asset management, and investment banking, and committed to a relationship we call you and us. Member SIPC.
Get the good stuff! Father's Day is right around the corner, so stop into your local Napa Auto Parts store for a Father's Day gift your dad is going to love. The Vice Grip 3-Piece Groove Lock Tool Set. And right now, you can get it for just $59.99. Hey, with the press and slide button that adjusts the pliers up to 50% faster, this set can help dad tackle any project. The Vice Grip 3-Piece Groove Lock Tool Set, just $59.99. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
The Coast Guard told us about it back on March 24, 1989. An oil tanker dubbed the Exxon Valdez.
They ran aground. They lost approximately 140,000 barrels of crude oil. And that's just drifting in Prince William Sound now.
It's taken a while to clean it all up. Actually, traces of crude oil are still there along the banks in Alaska. Now, CBS's Beverly Lumpkin says The feds want Exxon to dig deep and come up with more cash for more cleanup.
Three federal agencies and Alaska say since 2001, they've seen signs of lingering deposits of toxic oil on several miles of beaches. Under the so-called reopener provision of the 1991 settlement with Exxon, the state and the agencies are asking ExxonMobil to pay an additional $92 million to help clean up these unexpected, persistent deposits of toxic oil.
I'm Chris Mavridis, CBS News.
Yeah, my wife's pregnant, so since she's driving more carefully now, maybe we could get a discount on our rate, huh?
That's a real question that was put to the licensed insurance experts at Progressive Direct. When you call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, we'll answer your questions and help you find the policy that best fits you. So whether your question's unique or typical.
Yeah, I just turned 25. Will that lower my rate?
In fact, it will. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations.
Get the good stuff.
Want to protect your engine from extreme situations like, say, really high gas prices? Get Mobil 1 Full Synthetic Motor Oil. It can make a difference in improving your gas mileage and extending the life of your engine. And now, Mobil 1 Full Synthetic Motor Oil is just $4.99 a quart at your nearest Napa Auto Parts store. Hey, protecting your engine and your wallet has never been easier. Prices not include state and local taxes and recycling fees. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, originating on the left coast right here at KRXA 540 in Monterey, California. Ready, steady, go. We got 3 hours of progressive talk coming your way, live, unscripted, unrehearsed, with lots of room for your phone calls. That's how it works here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can call us anytime the urge strikes you and an opinion crawls out of your brain. On the Central Coast, it's a local call at 831-899-5792. 831-899-5792. And you can also call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. The fog has rolled back in here on the Central Coast, but it was a beautiful sunny morning as I walked along the cliffs of Pacific Grove. Just love this kind of summertime weather. We are fueled by fresh strawberries picked in Watsonville this afternoon. So watch out. You never know what'll happen when I'm loaded on fruit. Ah, but no OxyContin. I have never had any OxyContin or done a radio talk show on it. On our program today, we're going to talk about one of only two ballot measures confronting voters in the primary next Tuesday. One is a bond measure, Prop 81, for libraries, and the other is Prop 82, which is Rob Reiner's Universal Preschool Initiative. We'll talk with a proponent of that measure, and you'll hear some of the questions I have about it coming up about a half hour away. Next hour, Tom Hayden will join us on the program. Remember Tom Hayden, one of the Chicago Seven defendants who bitterly opposed the 1968 convention in Chicago. He went on to serve with some distinction as a husband of Jane Fonda and as a state senator here in California. Tom Hayden will join us next hour. And we're going to talk about the progressive wing of the Democratic Party and how to move the party away from what I view as the dangerous centrism of the Democratic Leadership Council. Also on today's program, Chris Tonsing, editor of the Middle East Report, will join us. We're going to talk about this change in tenor in Washington. Condoleezza Rice announced it yesterday, and we brought the details to you, but a real, at least on the surface, a change in the PR approach to Iran. And we'll get Chris Tonsing's thoughts on that coming up. Then lots of room for your phone calls in the free speech zone in our third hour today, per usual, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And as usual, on Thursdays, we kick off the show with Faz Shakir. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report that comes out of the Center for American Progress in Washington. You log on to progressreport.org, and they'll deliver it into your email box every day. I know, because I'm a subscriber. Hello, Faz. How are you?
Hi, Peter. How are you doing this week?
Not too bad. As I mentioned, I'm here on the Central Coast where the sun has been out, the strawberries are fresh, and life's pretty good.
It's getting pretty warm down here. It's about 90 degrees here in Washington, D.C. I'm enjoying that.
And what's the humidity like, Faz? That's what's always special about weather in Washington.
Oh, yeah, it's quite hot. I'm from Florida, and I would say it compares pretty favorably with Florida right now.
Wow. Well, you know, I'm going to be out there the week after next for the Take Back America conference, and if it all works out, you and I are going to get to meet face-to-face for the first time.
There you go. I was about to tell you that I'll be there, too. I hope to see you.
Well, and given the humidity, I'll bring my extra powerful deodorant.
Okay, I look forward to it.
Now, first up today, I have to give credit to you folks at the Progress Report because we've been struggling over the way Republicans have redefined the estate tax in this country by calling it the death tax. That was part of Tom DeLay's contribution to our vocabulary, and Newt Gingrich, too, going back to the 94 revolution. And death tax has been replaced by the Paris Hilton tax. Faz, that is absolutely brilliant. Who can we blame for this?
Well, there's been a number of people who have written about it. I won't say that we've coined it. We're just helped propagating it. It's come up through a number of different media outlets, particularly Gene Sperling, who's a economist at the Center for American Progress and worked in the Clinton administration. He's one of the many who have talked about it in that respect. So, and of course, it holds great relevance for the actual piece of legislation. That's why it's so important, is because it benefits the few very wealthy while harming basically the rest of America.
Well, and it's really important to point out that Paris Hilton has plenty of money already, and that's the case with many of these families that want to preserve massive wealth and pass it to the next generation. And we have to acknowledge that there are already mechanisms in place. One of them is called the Generation Skipping Trust that permits a wealthy family to put stock or other securities into a trust fund that jumps over their children to their grandchildren. So there are a lot of ways that the very wealthy already avoid the estate tax. And what we've seen is just a very greedy effort to make it go away altogether. And that's where we stand right now. It's diminishing. And then in 2010, am I correct, that's when it would kick back into the old rate?
That's right. That's right. And they're trying to do away with it completely by that date. And have a permanent repeal of the estate tax. What we do today in the Progress Report, and I would urge people to go look at it, is talk a little bit about the history of it and why it was enacted in the first place. We talked about how President Teddy Roosevelt, said that this was an important tax at the time that he initiated it because that we were a nation in time of war, and we needed revenues, and we needed to balance our books. And he said that this was the right type of justice that was needed. He used that word. It was a justice being done, a redistribution that was fair to all of society, so that not one element of it was shouldering all the burden. And and I think that it applies as much today as it did then, given that we're at war today and that we are still trying to rebuild New Orleans and we have a number of other priorities. We can't afford to let the ultra-wealthy in our society get off the hook for what they should be also contributing to the cause.
Now, the notion or the specter of a death tax is clearly rhetorically very powerful. Nobody wants to imagine that just because you've died, you have to pay a big tax. On the other hand, it's really important to note that these senators and members of Congress are trying to push through this permanent repeal without any indication of how they're going to pay for it or exactly how big a hole in the federal deficit it's going to blow.
That's right. We mentioned today it's been estimated to be around $700 to $800 billion, and just by comparison, the war in Iraq, by most estimates, has been around $300 to $400 billion, and that's been a very costly enterprise. It's sunk us into great deficit, and now we're talking about something that's at least double the cost of it. So, something that we just can't afford given the state of our current debt and our deficit in this country. There's just no way it would sink. It would bankrupt the nation, and it's just not something we can afford.
The other thing that's clever in your references to Paris Hilton is you say Paris Hilton is not a farmer. She just plays one on TV. And
that's right.
I've talked to a number of people, including David K. Johnston, who's a great reporter on money, taxes, and finance for the New York Times, about this myth about family farms, you know, being swallowed up by the government because of the death tax. And this is almost entirely a myth, isn't it, Faz?
That's absolutely right, and that's the way President Bush likes to talk about it. He says that if we don't repeal this, it will harm many small family farms throughout the nation. It will harm small businesses. All that is nonsense. Of course, we talked about today that there are just literally under 100, even just a handful of small family farms that would be touched by this. And, of course, those are the ultra-wealthy family farms. Most of the people that are being impacted by this are the ultra-wealthy non-family farm owners. You know, these wealthy legacy corporations who have been handed down money generation after generation, those are the ones who are pushing hard behind the scenes for this repeal. They're the ones who would benefit the most from it. People like the oil company executives who currently harbor millions and millions of dollars, and they're just passing it down through generations. Those are the ones who really stand to benefit from it, not family farmers.
And in the Daily Progress report today, you cite clear examples. Exxon's CEO, Lee Raymond, who many people know has the most incredible retirement package. I mean, he'll never be able to spend it all. He would receive a tax break of over $160 million. Bush, Cheney, and the members of the cabinet stand to gain between $91 million and $344 million. Shouldn't they have to recuse themselves from from this debate and legislation?
Well, let's not recuse themselves. It needs to certainly be an element of the debate. You know, too often when we bring these sorts of things up, we're told, well, that's extremely personal. You're playing the politics of personal destruction. I don't think so. I think this is a fair part of the debate that needs to be talked about. They're benefiting from it, and it should be part of the debate. We should talk about President Bush, and he should explain, you know, why it is that he feels about this so strongly, and whether he is actually going to benefit from it, or is he going to give back the money that he would earn from such a repeal.
And this,
I think it needs, yeah.
Go ahead. This often produces the kind of what I call the mirror effect from Republicans, which is where they do something which is very clear to most of us, and then they blame the opposition. And in this case, they have launched a class war by trying to repeal the estate tax as a boon to the ultra-rich. But they turn it on its ear and say that those of us who want tax fairness, progressivity, and, you know, a kind of tax justice, as you were citing from Teddy Roosevelt, well, we have ignited a class war when we bring up those dirty little arguments.
You know, and I think it's important to put this into the political context. This is a president who's struggling with his base. They need a massive turnout if they're just going to rebound from in 2006. And so this is clearly has a lot of political overtones. I'm reminded of that famous Michael Moore quote in Fahrenheit 9/11, where he says, "You know, some people call you rich, I call you my base." And that's exactly what's going on here. He's speaking directly to his base and urging them to get out to the polls. And we just can't afford this sort of political pandering when it's going to cost our nation as much as it will.
And that's because Bush is trying to line the pockets of the have-mores, not the Michael Moores.
That's right.
Sorry about that. We'll pick up in just a moment with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. You got a question or comment? Bring it on. 831-899-5792. We'll make him answer it, dead or alive. Alive, hopefully. You can also call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
No matter where you are in Monterey County, you deserve to be in a safe environment. Robert Owen, who is running for Monterey County Sheriff, has concern about the recent serious injuries sustained by inmates within the Monterey County Jail. Robert Owen is a dedicated, long-term employee of the Monterey County Sheriff's Department. Robert Owen has worked as a jail sergeant for over 26 years and has 31 years of service as a Monterey County Sheriff. Robert Owen is concerned about the retention of deputies in the Monterey County Sheriff's Department. Robert Owen is so concerned that he is running for Monterey County Sheriff and personally financing his campaign. He will not be obligated to any special interest groups.
This is Robert Owen, and I am asking for your vote for Monterey County Sheriff on June 6th.
Your vote matters. On June 6th, please vote Robert Owen, Monterey County Sheriff.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. I'm glad you're listening, whether you're listening to KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Freedom. Maybe you're listening on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. Or one of our new listeners on 1240 Talk City, KSAC, Sacramento. Or 1480 KPHX in Phoenix. Glad you're along for the ride. We continue now our weekly debriefing from Faz Shakir. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report from the Center for American Progress. One more item on death taxes, death and taxes, Faz. And that is what authors Michael Graetz and Ian Shapiro have referred to as the birth tax. And that's the burden that we are passing along to the next generation.
Yeah, that's right. And as part of the justice that we're talking about is that the current state of the debt in this economy, we're leaving behind to each successive generation, $40,000 to $50,000 per person in debt. And so the sense of justice, that the tax justice that we need in this country necessitates that we do something about that, and to pass a very costly estate tax that would only increase that burden that we leave to our next generation is, in essence, you know, the wrong thing to do, and it's an injustice that we're passing along to our children.
So full repeal of the estate tax would add an additional $3,000 to the per-person debt burden of every man, woman, and child in this country.
That's right.
That's shocking and, a little bit irresponsible. Maybe a whole lot irresponsible. Faz, next I want to turn to an item here in the progress report about shareholder activism at the ExxonMobil annual meeting. There were some gains, but no victories. One shareholder measure called for a policy of anti-discrimination against lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender employees. Don't ask, don't tell is not good enough for those shareholders. And support moved up about 5 percentage points to 34%. But in general, so many institutional funds hold these shares that it's very hard to win on a shareholder measure at one of these annual meetings, isn't it?
Oh, certainly. But we felt it was responsible of us to say that, you know, a company like Exxon, who gets a very bad rap, mostly because of the way their executives run the company. We should also be noted that there are people who are trying to make changes, and we should try to highlight that, and we should bring them out into the open. And in this case, it's the shareholders. I think right now it's a minority of them, small minority, that are trying to inspire progressive movements within these corporations. And there's something that we should get behind and support and not be too quick to blanket the entire company by the acts of a few greedy executives.
Right. There was also a measure there to get them to acknowledge global warming, and I guess that went down to defeat, too, in either a shower of gasoline or profits.
That's right. Al Gore, he's an enemy of the big oil companies, and nothing at Exxon's shareholder meeting did anything to change that perception.
Yes, a truth like that would be inconvenient at a shareholder meeting of an oil company. And finally, on the Cops and Robbers Patrol, more investigation into Congressman Jerry Lewis, the very powerful chair of the Appropriations Committee, whose seat is based in San Bernardino County here in California.
That's right, and something very hits home with your listeners. It's the federal investigators are saying that they're subpoenaing records of a lobbyist who has very close ties to Jerry Lewis. His name is Bill Lowry. He runs a firm here in Washington, D.C. He's been giving Lowry about most of his money, I think. I think we said a third of, I can't remember clearly, but we said, I think, about a third of his money over the past couple, over the past 4 or 5 years. And so he's somebody who's very close with Jerry Lewis, and he's now being investigated by federal investigators for his role in corruption charges dealing with San Bernardino County. And we think that there's good reason to believe that this could lead to Jerry Lewis.
Well, you do very well riding the Metro without notes. It's 37% of the total political campaign contributions raised by Jerry Lewis in the last 6 years came from this one lobbyist and his cronies.
That's right. Yeah, so, I mean, there's good reason to believe here that Jerry Lewis received these funds from Bill Lowry, and in return gave him these grants, one of which might have been this one that they're investigating in San Bernardino County. He gave about $100 million in grants to Bill Lowry. That's what I think the federal investigators, and if you look at the pattern, that's what they've been doing with the Safavian case and Neil Boltz with Bob Ney. They've been going after the small ticket items to get to the big ticket items later on.
Yeah, and an interesting sidebar here in the footnotes, the Think Fast notes of the Progress Report, the same Appropriations Committee chaired by Jerry Lewis is a revolving door for staff members who later go on to work as lobbyists. No fewer than 46 former aides on that committee have registered as lobbyists just since 1998.
Yeah, I mean, this is a breeding ground for people. Yeah, congressional staffers, you have to have a little bit of pity for them because they make very little. I mean, most of them are making in the $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 range, and of course, and that's not a great deal considering that they're dealing with the amount of power that they have and amount of access they have to lobbyists. And so many of them are lured by these jobs and people like Jack Abramoff who are offering them millions of dollars.
Faz got to run. Remember. Thanks a lot. Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress here on the Peter B. Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Every business has a black and white copier.
Yet color packs more punch, demands more attention, and projects a more powerful image.
The Sharp MX Series multifunctional products.
Advanced color document systems that not only copy, print, scan, and fax, but also feature high-quality printing in both color and black and white from the same MFP.
All for a surprisingly low total cost of ownership. And with Sharp's advanced image stabilization and microfine toner technology,
the MX Series produces ultra-vivid documents and extraordinary color image quality, page after page.
Sharp's MX Series.
Workgroup document systems designed to provide exceptional performance and productivity day after day, in-house for less money.
Tri-County Business Systems, solutions that connect with you since 1981. Located in Salinas at South Main and Acacia Streets. Call 1-800-339-6216. That's 1-800-339-6216.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you personalities and interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and travel. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored by the Monterey Salinas Transit's Grapevine Express. The Grapevine Express runs weekends from the Aquarium to Carmel Valley. For more information, call toll-free 888-678-2781 or visit the web at mst.org.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
Go ahead. We got the go-ahead. 33 minutes past the hour. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. We're up and down the left coast from Monterey all the way to Eureka, inland to Sacramento and Phoenix, Arizona. I'm glad to have you listening. California voters only have two ballot measures to confront you when you go to the primary election this coming Tuesday, and maybe you've already confronted it in your vote-at-home, vote-by-mail, absentee ballot kind of thing. But one is Prop 81, which is a bond measure to provide funding for libraries in California. And Prop 82 is the other ballot measure that you'll face. And this is a bit of a relief after last November, where we had, what, seven or eight ballot measures in Arnold's special election that went absolutely nowhere, wasted a lot of time and money. And so this is a different situation where the accent in this election is on the candidates, with a kind of second tier given to the ballot measures. And I think Prop 82 is very important. I support universal preschool. I do have some questions about the funding mechanism, and so we're going to talk about it in this next half hour. And if you have questions, particularly if you're a parent of a toddler and you're wondering about your own preschool options and what Prop 82 might or might not do for you, I invite you to call, and we'll get answers as much as we can to your questions. Lines are open right now. On the Central Coast, it's 831-899-5792. That's 899-5792. Or you can use the toll-free line from anywhere else at 1-888-579-2540. And I have a screen here that tells me lots of people are listening online right now. So if you're a computer-based listener, you come forward too and participate on the toll-free number at 888-579-2540. A proponent of Prop 82 joins us right now, Scott Moore from the Little Elephant Montessori Schools. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Peter. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, I think it's an important issue and a very important mission that Rob Reiner built here around Prop 82. You're a Montessori teacher, and or at least involved in the Montessori element of our educational system, and the common perception is that most Montessori teachers and schools are against Prop 82 because it might change the way Montessori schools can operate.
Well, that's an unfortunate misperception. The reality is that most Montessori schools haven't taken a position on Prop 82, and the vast majority of people who are preschool teachers and provide preschool services to children have come out in support of Prop 82. I'm part of an organization that has brought together a massive coalition representing over 45,000 early childhood educators that have come together in support of Prop 82. And as a Montessori preschool provider, I know that Prop 82 is going to allow me to provide a really high-quality Montessori-based preschool education for California's children,
mm-hmm.
Which right now most children in California do not have the opportunity to attend a high-quality preschool, and that's really what Prop 82 is all about.
Now, it says that presently 65 to 66% of California's four-year-olds attend preschool. This is according to an opponent of Prop 82. There's a kind of dueling op-ed page in the San Francisco Chronicle today, and I just quoted that from the no side. Is that accurate, 65% of four-year-olds are currently attending preschool?
That's completely inaccurate. The reality is that they're equating preschool with someone that could very well sit your child in front of Barney all day.
So they're lumping daycare together with preschool.
Absolutely. And you know, these are programs with absolutely no quality standards. Who knows what's going on in some of these programs. We do have studies. There's a study out of UCLA and Yale which shows that a third of these programs are actually detrimental to the development of children. So to say that 66% of children are getting quality preschool is just an outright lie.
Be really careful about Barney.
There's nothing wrong with Barney, but if it's Barney 24/7, it's a problem.
I understand. But the Barney and Elmo forces
are strong.
Don't want to underestimate them, as Bush might say. Now, let's talk about the studies that show that there certainly is a benefit for certain groups of children who attend preschool. And who would benefit most, in your opinion, from making access to preschool universal here in California?
Well, there's no question that studies show that children who are at risk and from low-income communities benefit the most. But studies also show that all children benefit from quality preschool. And when you look at the fact that 50% of our fourth graders can't even pass a basic reading test, and that 80% of our fourth graders aren't even reading at grade level. There's no question we're missing something early on, and preschool is what's necessary in order to be able to ensure that our children, all of our children, are ready for school.
Mm-hmm. And that's a very appealing argument Scott. It really is. And it's not in my nature to just try to be a contrarian and say, well, but what about this? But I have to. Bruce Fuller at UC Berkeley, who is, you know, very astute on these issues. He has been, I think, an interesting opponent here, where he hasn't tried to sink the concept. He simply feels that Prop 82 is not the best vehicle for it. But he has provided studies, and others have, that show that the benefit of preschool tends to not evaporate, but at least erode in measurable terms by the sixth or seventh grade for most students. How do you respond to that?
Well, the reality is that it does matter the quality of the K through 12 experience, but there are numerous longitudinal studies that have followed children for 20, 30, 40 years that show that when these children get a quality preschool experience, regardless of the quality of K-12, we see marked and consistent and long-term improvements in their academic success and ultimately in their ability to have a job, hold a job, earn money, and stay out of trouble, stay out of jail, and not get into the kinds of situations that end up costing society a lot of money. So the reality is, I think most of us know, as parents and certainly educators, all children benefit from a quality preschool experience. Certainly if you ask any kindergarten teacher, they'll tell you right away that they can see which children have gone to preschool, which ones haven't, and even one locally in my neighborhood, she'll tell us, she says that she can see which children have gone to preschool and which preschool they've actually gone to, which really gets to the point of quality and the fact that if it's not a quality preschool experience, it isn't worth the investment. And that's one of the best things about Prop 82, is that it has the highest quality standards of really any preschool program in the nation.
Well, and I certainly think that's important. We're talking with Scott Moore. He's a proponent of Proposition 82 on the ballot next Tuesday, and it would tax the wealthiest Californians to provide access to preschool for every four-year-old in the state. And we get into maybe some things that are a little bit hazy or arcane here, Scott. But one of the things that I look at is, okay, I supported Proposition 10, which Rob Reiner put on the ballot in 1998. It put a 50 cent per pack tax on cigarettes, raises about $700 or $800 million a year, and it goes to the first five agencies around the state. In full disclosure, I produce some programs that get funding from First Five, so I have more than passing knowledge of it. And I think it's a great program that has done a great job to help focus on the interests of early childhood development. Now, the next step here from Rob Reiner is to reach four-year-olds with universal preschool. And my question is, are we investing too much on the front end? And I can hear you saying we can never invest too much, but still, on balance, are we shortchanging K through 12 by earmarking special funding for 0 to 5 from First Five and for four-year-olds from Prop 82?
That's such a great question, because there's a wonderful study which shows that about 80 to 90% of our fundings, you know, government funding for children, happens between the ages of, you know, kindergarten, 5, 6, on up through 18 years of age. And yet the reality is that, and we know this, that 80% of brain growth happens within the first 5 years of a child's life. So right now, from a funding perspective, we're so out of whack. We're really missing the boat when it comes to investing in children's early years, when their brain development is so rapid, it's so critical. We're missing that window of opportunity. And, you know, you pointed out correctly that Prop 10 and the first five commissions get about $700 million a year. Well, don't forget, our K-12 system has over $50 billion a year. So we got a way to go before we even scratch the surface on K-12 funding. And, you know, that's why...
Scott, let me jump in, because you're correct that we spend $50 billion a year, but aren't we 45th in the nation on per capita spending?
Oh, you know what? I'm not going to get an argument that we shouldn't be spending more on K-12. But what I will say, and what, you know, that this is why 450,000 K-12 teachers support Prop 82. They know that investing early on is the best and wisest investment we can make for children, and that if they can have children coming to kindergarten ready to learn, they're not going to be playing the catch-up game anymore. I mean, the reality is that children are coming to school wholly unprepared, and yet our academic requirements and our standards are going up because we know that our children aren't learning what they need to. But if we're going to give our kindergarten teachers and our elementary teachers the kind of support they need in order to be successful with children, they need to come to school ready to learn, and that's why preschool is so important.
We're talking about Proposition 82. It's on your ballot on Tuesday. And parents, you've got a chance here to get your questions answered. I know that there are questions about Prop 82, so get on the line right now if you'd like to explore this. 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast, a local call. That's 831-899-5792. Eureka or elsewhere, call me toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. Prop 82, the topic, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Joan Kenley with Talking Matters, this Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540. We'll ask, can loving intention change your life? Our guests are Dr. Brenda Wade and Marcia Jaffe, wildly successful women who will touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. Brenda will tell us how intention infused her new book, Power Choices, and about her television appearances on PBS this month. Her love-centered approach to transformation is also what our show is about. Marcia's vacation to Bali created her intention to do something special, and she launched the Quest for Global Healing conferences there. As Oprah says, ask yourself, what is my truest intention? When it's right, your entire body will feel it. Can loving intention change your life? Find out this Saturday at 3 on Talking Matters.
Salt means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testified lying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women for me.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Kind of catapult the propaganda.
Would you like to be part of the conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Dollar bills do.
Floyd, small springs, yens, and pounds. I rock and chopped up.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm glad you're listening today. Lines are open if you'd like to talk about Proposition 82 with our guest Scott Moore on the Central Coast, 831-899-5792, or toll-free, 888-579-2540. Now, Scott, next I want to turn to the funding mechanism here for Prop 82, because I'm happy to report to you that I won't be affected in any way. And I'm also cautious about that. I don't have a problem with the idea of asking rich people to go back to the tax rate, the effective tax rate that they had in California a few years ago. During the 90s, there was no apparent flight of millionaires or billionaires from the Golden State. But I'll give you this example. Right now, the California General Fund has about $4.5 billion more than was projected in January. And this money came almost entirely from what we call Google millionaires. Now, not all of them are at Google, but a significant flow of cash came into the Treasury because last year a lot of Google employees had their shares unlocked and they cashed out, and they're paying an appropriate tax for that. My point is that we don't have Google shares unlocked every year, and this could be a very erratic funding stream for programs that will become very important when they're implemented. And I'd hate to see that interrupted by a downturn in the fortunes of the richest Californians.
Well, that's certainly an excellent question, and I'm not an economist by any means, so I will just merely refer to the Legislative Analyst's Office from the state legislature, whose job it is to predict these tax revenues, and you know, they predict in the long term that the revenues will be sufficient to provide the kind of quality preschool that we need, and that's another reason why we have a full 1 year reserve that's going to be built in, so that when there is a rainy day, we have the kind of reserve we need in order to provide you know, continue to provide the kind of quality that children require to be successful in school. So,
and will these revenues flow into a separate fund, the kind of Al Gore lockbox?
It will certainly flow into a fund that is only to be used for preschool.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because that was one of the beauties of Rob Reiner and the people who put Proposition 10 on the ballot when we were really rolling in the dough here in California. We had a surplus in the state budget. And they were smart enough to recognize that that wouldn't last forever, and they prevented any raids on the tobacco tax money during the very lean last few years that we've had here.
That's correct, and that would be the same for Proposition 82. And, you know, you rightly pointed out that when we had this tax bracket back in the 90s, there was not only was there not a flight of millionaires, we actually got more millionaires. So it just goes to show you that this 1.7% tax increase on their income really has no impact on whether or not they're staying in California.
Well, just before you came on, Scott, we were talking about the debate over the extension of the estate tax repeal, the federal estate tax, and how because, you know, the rich people want to see it removed, when people who don't have to worry about paying a huge estate tax in the future argue about tax equity and fairness, we are accused of igniting class warfare. And I think similarly, those who are whining about the potential impact of Prop 82 are people who, you know, what are they going to do? Cut down to five Lexuses instead of, you know,
right,
six?
It's a great question, and you know, first of all, I should say that there are many, many, many people who are wealthy and would be paying this tax to support Prop 82. So this isn't a class warfare by any means. But you're absolutely right. You know, on average, with the Prop 82 tax, someone making $400,000 a year would be paying around $7,500. Now, this same person has gotten about $75,000 in tax cuts from the federal Bush tax cuts that the rich have gotten. So Overall, certainly they will be doing pretty well from a tax cut perspective.
We're talking with Scott Moore, a proponent of Proposition 82 on the ballot this coming Tuesday. Bring your questions on now. He's with us till the top of the hour, 831-899-5792 or 888-579-2540. Now, let's talk about the actual operation level. If Prop 82 passes, one of the elements of it requires over the next 10 years a significant upgrade in the skills and training of providers at these preschools. Talk a little bit about that and what will be required and what kind of resources will be made available to upgrade the skills of people who are currently employed in the preschool industry or preschool world.
Well, that's certainly correct. And, you know, it is a significant increase in professional qualifications, but when you hear what they are, you almost wonder why we don't have them already. The reality is that they'd be our head teachers, and only the head teacher in the classroom would be required to have a college degree and then an early learning credential, much like the teaching credential that K-12 teachers need to have. And those head teachers would be making the same as if they worked in a public school district, which right now in preschool, we literally lose over a third of our teachers every year, which has just an incredibly negative impact on the quality of our programs. When you're constantly losing teachers and children lose that relationship they have, it really is so important to their ability to learn. So, you know, Prop 82 really is providing a professional wage for the first time for preschool teachers. And they are phasing it in over 8 years, so it's not something that's required right away. And we're dedicating $700 million during those years for financial aid, for people to go back to school, and for our colleges to expand their degree and their course offerings so that it's just a lot easier for people to go back to school and to get their college degrees.
And one thing that an academic program or even an academic degree can't either confer or confirm, regarding an individual, is their ability to relate to children and offer the intangibles, nurturing, compassion, acceptance, and working out the communication skills of four-year-olds. You know, that's a real challenge that doesn't necessarily require academic skills. They can help, but a lot of it is kind of the personality and the orientation of the individual child care provider, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. That's certainly true for our teachers and our preschool. And I think it's also true for K-12. I mean, people who are teachers need to love it, need to have a passion for it. But it doesn't mean they need to be paid the same as parking lot attendants, which is what preschool teachers are paid right now. So the reality that teachers will finally be getting a professional wage and they will have the credentials, which will help them do a better job. And studies do show that teachers with BAs provide a higher quality education. And I think one of those reasons is because they don't leave. They don't go and work at Nordstrom's or Starbucks because they would make more money there. And mm-hmm. That's a big part of this.
All right. Susan joins us from Santa Cruz. Hello, Susan. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Scott Moore.
Hi, Peter B. and Scott.
Hi.
Hi. Now, I don't have any kids at this age anymore, but I did, and I was one once, too.
Oh, good. Thanks for the confession.
But I'm wondering about, I don't think it's particularly helpful to four-year-olds to be in academic situations, and I'm really wondering what the focus of this program is going to be. If it's going to be all this left-brain crap that they already have too much of. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have called it crap. I'm really sorry. I didn't mean that because it's very important. But at
yeah, and be careful because you're talking to Peter Pan here, and if I have to grow up, things are going to get really messy. Scott, what's your response?
Well, you know, I couldn't agree more, and certainly, you know, from the early childhood educators' perspective all over the state, resoundingly agree with you. And Prop 82 enshrines what we call developmentally appropriate practice, which means that children learn through play. And this is not an academic-based program. This is a play-based program, like preschool ought to be. But that is how children, are prepared to go into kindergarten and do well in school.
Right.
But it is developmentally appropriate. It's age-appropriate. And that is in Prop 82, and we're very happy that it's there because we very much appreciate your sentiment.
Just about 20 seconds, Susan, a quick one.
Yeah, well, you know, I had a kid that really needed something that wasn't that way. I mean, he failed kindergarten. 28 out of 52 kids that year failed kindergarten, and I wouldn't like to see my grandson going through the same kind of thing.
All right, Susan, thank you very much. Scott Moore, thanks for joining us today. Yes on 82, that's your call, and we're going to see how it turns out in Tuesday's election.
Thank you so much, Peter.
My pleasure. Good to talk with you. Coming up next, Tom Hayden, former state senator, former Chicago 7 defendant, joins us here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
We're going. Tom Hartman.
So today, Alberto Gonzalez comes out and says that he's been watching child porn. And he describes it extremely graphically. In fact, so graphically, frankly, I don't want to quote the Attorney General.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
It reminds me of Ed Meese. He created this Meese Commission on Pornography, and he came out and announced that he had watched over 800 hours of pornography, and they were convinced that watching pornography destroys people's minds. Then, Ed, why don't you check yourself into a hospital?
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Do you care about issues affecting the working men and women of our community? Health care, immigration, the warmerization of our economy, social justice issues in general.
If you care, there's a show for you. It's called Labor Matters, hosted by Jose Mendez and myself, Ren Bradley. Please join us every Sunday from 11 a.m. to noon.
Don't give up the fight.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The first day of hurricane season and the first day of a new term for Ray Nagin.
I stand before you having weathered the worst of storms.
Kimberly Dozier is making progress.
I'm just delighted with the improvement in the time we've been here.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The New Orleans Convention Center, a shelter from the storm 9 months ago, was the setting for Mayor Ray Nagin's inauguration today.
We've been through many hard trials.
CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick reports.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Nagin took the oath and promised to lead this city through one of the biggest recoveries this country has ever seen.
We are overcoming Hurricane Katrina right now.
He urged unity and even reached out to those he felt didn't do enough in the Katrina recovery.
Let me thank President George W. Bush. Don't ask me how we became friends, but we friends.
As far as this hurricane season, Nagin said officials would be better prepared, but he urged residents to be ready to leave if a storm approaches. Tammy McCormick, CBS News, New Orleans.
The Army Corps of Engineers today released a report on what went wrong last year. WWL Radio's Dave Cohen has that.
The report released on this first day of hurricane season says engineering and design failures built using outdated data led to the overwhelming of the system that was supposed to protect New Orleans.
If there has been a silver lining in terms of all the terrible things that happened with Hurricane Katrina, it did give the Corps of Engineers an opportunity to rebuild in a very short amount of time 60% of the hurricane protection system that defends this city.
Colonel Louis Setliff says the hurricane protection system now is better and stronger than it's ever been. Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
Now this.
If you're living in a space that's too small or too large or too old or just too ugly, here's what you do. Take a 2x4 to the problem. Maybe some 2x6s. Heck, just take all your lumber and give it to a member of the American Institute of Architects. We'll design a home that fits your needs and your budget to a T. Call an AIA architect early, so your living space won't be to this or to that, but just right. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
Michelin presents a Michelin Manifesto.
The Michelin man is trying to match every driver up with a savvy crew chief. Your Michelin dealer can show you how Michelin Pilot Performance Sport tires help deliver race-inspired grip and handling on wet and dry pavement, so you can achieve the confidence that comes from uncompromising performance with your car. See your Michelin dealer or MichelinMan.com.
Michelin, a better way forward.
CBS News correspondent Kimberly Dozier, severely wounded by a bomb in Iraq, shows further improvement. She's off the ventilator, breathing on her own at the U.S. military hospital in Landstuhl, Germany. Earlier, correspondent Elaine Cobb says Dozier started communicating in writing.
Her first question today was, what happened to my crew? And that's when she learned for the first time that cameraman Paul Douglas and soundman James Brolin didn't make it. Her parents said she slumped in the bed when she heard the news and turned her head to the side and closed her eyes.
Dorothy Dozier, Kimberly's mom, says she's delighted with the progress her daughter's making, especially considering how badly she was wounded.
When I walked into the room and saw her, it really impacted what that was all about and how closely we came to maybe losing her.
The bodies of Paul Douglas and James Brolin were flown home to Britain today. The Bush administration's behind-the-scenes diplomacy paid off today when five other world powers, Britain, France, Germany, Russia, and China, presented a united front in the showdown with Iran.
We have agreed a set of far-reaching proposals as a basis for discussion with Iran.
British Foreign Secretary Margaret Beckett says they're offering incentives for Iran to halt its uranium enrichment program, penalties if it refuses. The agreement backs up what President Bush said earlier today.
If they continue their obstinance, they continue to say to the world, we really don't care what your opinion is, then the world is going to act in concert. And the next step of acting in concert is to go to the United Nations Security Council.
Before today's six-power talks in Vienna, Iran's foreign minister said his country would not negotiate about its natural nuclear rights. Already facing a death sentence in Virginia, John Allen Muhammad has been sentenced today to six consecutive life terms for the sniper slayings in Maryland. The judge told him you will spend the rest of your life locked in a cage. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Get the good stuff! Even with today's modern engines, an oil change every 3 months or 3,000 miles is still the most important maintenance you can do. And right now at Napa Auto Parts, you can get Valvoline conventional motor oil for just $1.99 per quart. Plus, you can get a sweatshirt featuring characters from the Disney Pixar movie Cars, free by mail, with any case purchase of Valvoline motor oil. Price does not include state and local taxes or recycling fees. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
It's a never-ending necessity for more and more office space.
For retail leases, they hand you, it's almost a book.
50 pages of legalese.
I am not going to be able to do this.
Calling the realtor should be the first thing you do.
When he got here, I could see he was wearing that realtor pin.
That's the guy to talk to.
Buying or leasing a commercial property? Let someone with expertise and experience be your partner. Ask your agent if they're a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
Really helped me take my business where I wanted it to go.
A message from your local, state, and national realtor.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, up and down the left coast and oozing inland. We're on in Monterey, Eureka, Sacramento, and Phoenix. Yes, we live in an unbelievable time when Republicans in Washington get away with all kinds of power grabs, budget busting, and we have a president who has admitted that he routinely broke the law. And yet we see the American media nonplussed, and in my view, too many Americans really don't respond to the danger of our situation today. I want to bring on a real progressive voice to talk about what's at stake these days. Tom Hayden, as you know, was one of the defendants in the Chicago 7 trial. He went on to serve with distinction in the California legislature and termed out as a senator a few years back. He and I bonded a little bit when he was running for governor in the early 90s. He had one of the first electric cars, and I remember when you came to the radio station in San Francisco, we had to hunt up extra extension cords so we could charge up your batteries. Tom Hayden, welcome to the program today.
Those were the days. Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing great, and how about you?
I'm doing fine. I'm writing and writing and writing obsessively, teaching, mentoring. I've been up in San Francisco thanks to the mayor and activists at New School working on a sweatshop ordinance, but mainly I'm just retired into the rank and file and doing my work.
And what are you driving these days? Do you still have a battery-powered car?
I drive the car that I expect to die in. That would be a Toyota RAV4.
Uh-huh.
I drive it very little. my wife has a Prius.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad to see increased attention to alternative transportation, solar, renewables. It's kind of amazing to me. You know, I was the chair of the governor's first solar energy council, and we're talking here about 1978 or 79. We had 23,000 people employed in 100 or so solar energy firms in California. The issue just keeps rising and falling, which must be a measure of the power of our addiction to oil, or the power of the military-industrial complex, or
well,
the power companies.
The,
what is it?
The fight over alternative fuels ends up being a sop to Archer Daniels Midland and
yeah.
You know, corn growers in the Midwest. And then we have Richard Pombo heading the Resources Committee and steering, or at least lobbying on behalf of wind farms because his family owns some.
Right. Yeah. No, but I guess the process of reform should be honored, and we shouldn't be depressed. But it is unbelievably circuitous and Machiavellian, and it's no wonder that people are immobilized from time to time by despair, depression, or the need to get their life in order.
And that's exactly why I wanted to talk with you today, because I see an important struggle underway for the future of the non-Republican Party in this country.
Uh-huh.
And I accept that the two-party system is going to dominate at least for the foreseeable future. And I want to see progressives assert themselves and get people elected this year in order to confront the centrists, the corporate folks from the Democratic Leadership Council, and the sellouts like Joe Lieberman in the Senate and Jane Harman in the House. And I really am encouraged by some of the challengers who have surfaced. I'm a little disconcerted that the voters, the progressives, are not rallying at the level I'd like to see.
Well, there's a lot of activity in that arena. There's a very good book by David Sirota follow-up of Tom Frank's book on
Kansas. Right.
There's a resurgence of the idea of populism, economic, environmental, political. This being a congressional election year, it's hard to generate a lot of activity compared to a presidential year, which is just around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some. The activists in San Francisco put a referendum against Iraq on the ballot, and it passed overwhelmingly in Nancy Pelosi's district. And
mm-hmm.
I think it had something to do with her becoming a co-sponsor of Congressman Murtha's Get Out Now resolution. With respect to Jane Harman, for the Bay Area people, she is a conservative, hawkish Democrat in a Southern California seat down here that starts in Venice and runs down the coast. She has been not only for the war in Iraq and funding the war in Iraq and against withdrawal, but also the ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee.
Right. She was briefed, and she didn't object.
She sat in those secret meetings, and she kept her lips sealed. She's in trouble inside the party because some people want to replace her, and in her district because there's a very feisty candidate, Marcy Winograd, who's one of the most articulate and brilliant first-time campaigners I have seen in a long time.
I agree. Marcy's been on our show 3 times.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what she's doing talking up there. There's no voters up there.
Well.
But she's terrific, and I don't know how she's going to do, but she's really managed to galvanize a lot of people who want to find a way to stand up against what you properly describe as the compromised, paralyzed state of the Democratic Party.
Well, and here's an encouraging note. In West Los Angeles at the Democratic Club the other night, Harman and Winograd both spoke, and at the end of it, the vote was 54-19 in favor of the challenger.
Right. I think those those Democrats are a little to the left of the Democrats in the district, but they reflect the majority more or less. And that's to say, if the money was there and the communications was there, Winograd would win in a sweep, which is also to say Harmon has, there's no legs for her politics in this district. And even if Harmon wins, I think the message is being sent through the Democratic Party, through her friends and allies, that this is going to continue to happen, that they cannot just be disciplined, committed fence sitters on the war on Iraq and expect voters to turn out again and again and again to support the Democratic Party status quo.
Indeed. And you know, recently polling has shown that Republicans have dropped sharply in terms of voter perceptions on their ability to manage the most important issues we face. But that has not produced a rise in confidence in Democrats. And here's a quote from The New Yorker last week. Rahm Emanuel, who's running the DCCC, the
right.
Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee this year, he acknowledged, he said that the recent polls on Bush and the Republicans are not enough to propel the Democrats back to power. We still have to pick the lock here, he said, referring to the difficulty of unseating incumbents. So that is a true challenge here.
There's a structural impediment. It's called gerrymandering, and the Democrats have participated as much as the Republicans. That's why you have Pombo, by the way, off in Washington helping ruin the environment. He was sent there by the Democratic legislature.
Unfortunately, that's true. The Burton remap was a guarantee for each incumbent.
Yeah, but there's only 15 or 20, maybe 25 seats that are in play, as
right.
they say, in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though the public is very concerned about the Republicans, there's a structural obstacle to the Democrats taking back the House.
Indeed. There certainly is. We're going to take a quick break and then return. Got one caller on the line. If you'd like to talk with Tom Hayden, join us right now. Central Coast, 831-899-5792, or toll free at 888-579-2540. We'll continue in just a moment, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread,
try the scones. Everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a filler affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
I caught you singing along with that.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
KRXA 540 takes a look at traffic on this Thursday afternoon, and we've got Metro Diane. Hi.
We have a hazard in Gilroy. Highway 25 and 101, the railroad tracks are sticking up into the roadway there, so definitely slow down a bit. In San Juan Bautista, Flint Road at Freitas Road, a two-vehicle accident reported there. CHP en route to check out if it's blocking any lanes. Abshako Pass eastbound 152 before Fifield Road, we have a stalled vehicle blocking the left-hand lane. And finally, in Castroville, Highway 1 at 183, some cardboard signs for a fruit stand are actually sticking out into the traffic lane, so watch out for that as well.
We have a lot of protrusions today.
I know, stuff all over the place. This report is brought to you by Sears. The weekly ad from Sears is now available online. Just go to Sears.com and click on their weekly ad for hundreds of great offers. The weekly ad at Sears.com. It's too many offers to fit in print. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Banks and banks of humming machinery. I've never seen so many knobs. We're going to have to do something, Charlie. Try pushing that button there.
All right, I'll try pushing this one here. No?
How about that one?
Oh.
No, not that one either.
Well, let's try this one here.
I'll try pushing this one. Put my hat,
will you? There's a propeller. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and sometimes I do push the wrong button and need a little guidance. 20 minutes past the hour as we continue with Tom Hayden, the former state senator here in California. We're talking about the challenge to progressives this year and some exciting progressive challengers like Marcy Winograd, like Francine Busby, who may be able to take out Brian Bilbray in that special election in San Diego next week. That's the one that's hard to predict because of Duke Cunningham's conviction there. But, Tom, as you look at the landscape, do you see progressives rising this year, or do you see once again the Democratic Party moving in a real cautious direction and not really galvanizing the voters into a coherent progressive position?
I see the Democratic Party as a political party. You know, it's what it is. It's not a spiritual or moral organization, and so it's always going to move cautiously. It will disappoint. There are very few signs that it's willing to unify in opposition to Iraq.
Yeah, the failure of the senators to back Feingold on censure is a very important
example.
It's a very important signal, and it's really, really sad to me.
Well, here's what's going on. Rahm Emanuel is one of the exponents of this. The idea inside the party, which is far removed from the outside world in a sense, the inside view is that the party should not be drawn into any positions where Bush can blame them, and then Bush will spiral further and further out of control and be consumed by his own contradictions. That was successful, I have to say, on Social Security, where if the conservative Democrats, like Lieberman, had had their way, they would have offered a compromise. The fight would have been lost, but because they were disciplined, they offered no position except no privatization of Social Security. They won. The parallel with Iraq, though, is just not there. You cannot say we Democrats criticize Bush, but we have no alternative ourselves.
But Tom Hayden,
because that loses you millions of voters and a lot of credibility.
I understand. On the subject of impeachment, There are polls that show that if the president lied, there are many people who'd like to see that process engaged. Yet we have Nancy Pelosi announcing that she would not seek impeachment. Now, I understand that we don't want to give Karl Rove a huge target and have him go energize his base by saying, if you don't vote for Republicans, they'll impeach us. On the other hand, it's important to at least allow the possibility so that progressives and even those who aren't aligned with the Democratic Party, who can smell a crime when one stinks up the joint, that, you know, we would have true accountability. That's more important to me than politics.
Right. But what's at work here is the same fetish of discipline on the part of Pelosi and the Democrats. And I'm only explaining it, not necessarily defending it.
Indeed.
That is, don't give the Republicans an issue that will energize their base. Instead, hold back, take over the House. John Conyers becomes the chair of the Judiciary Committee.
Right.
He's already introduced a resolution that begins the impeachment process.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in place. I understand that, and I feel better about that relatively, because it is true Conyers would be the chair. It is true that he's already introduced the resolution.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of Iraq, I have no idea what the Democrats would do about Iraq if they took over the House or the Senate, and frankly, they don't know either. It's out of their hands. It's
right.
In the hands of the Pentagon, the hands of the secret paramilitaries. God knows the
right.
Contractors. That's the danger point, that the party is just unable to morally or politically come together around the number one problem currently, which is Iraq, the death toll, the tax toll, the torture toll.
We got a couple of callers for Tom Hayden. First up, Dave in Humboldt. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. And Tom Hayden, I'm hoping that you are one person that has some insight into how much of a factor Diebold and a few other crooked companies are playing in our elections. And if so, why we're not hearing about this from every Democrat that can talk. Or do you have a... If it's anywhere near as bad as I think it is, it's Diebold in, democracy out.
Nicely right. Put.
I don't know the depth of it, because sometimes we win elections, so I don't believe in all conspiracy analyses. But it is troubling, totally troubling, that the Democrats are hesitant on what appears to be a simple issue and must be a very deep issue. That is, the right to vote, enforced by a constitutional amendment, enforced by a paper trail, and the rest of it. Diebold, how could Diebold be so powerful and so popular to persist in its accumulation of power without it becoming one of the top two or three Democratic Party platform concerns?
That's what I wonder. Why?
Well, I don't know.
Well, and Dave, next hour we're going to talk about the Robert F. Kennedy article that I heard you mention to Stephanie Miller this morning. So let me ring off at this point and take another call, but we will discuss that more next hour. Billy in Capitola, you're on with Tom Hayden on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Gentlemen.
Hi.
Tom, it's nice to talk to you again, and in a second I want to give you a memory quiz. Let me just say this first, and that is that the shape of the districts in California are a flag for our lost democracy. The gerrymandering has taken away the meaning of our vote. Tom, you've knocked on a lot of doors running for office, haven't you?
I'm sorry, what?
You've knocked on a whole lot of doors running.
I have.
Running
I may hold a modest record of some sorts. I don't know.
Let's see how good your memory is. Here's a weird one. So you knock on a door and you're answered. You're in Santa Monica on West Channel Road next to the Yellow House.
Yes, yeah.
And when you come in, you see a couple of fellas, and they ask you if you want to join them. They just had a line of cocaine, and you demur and say, "No, I'm busy here." You spend another 20 minutes discussing politics, and then you go. Do you remember that? And do you have any other funny stories about what happened when you've knocked on doors?
I don't remember the line of cocaine. There is a big yellow house right there on Channel, down at the bottom in the floodplain. Yes,
I lost a car to a mud flow there.
Yes, And what's your question? Are there other stories?
Yeah, do you have any other stories about some other weird things that happened, I don't know, with, you know, attractive widows or anything else?
No, there have been several attractive widows. I'm not responsible. I think the weirdest thing is as people become more phobic about crime and the bars go up and the fences go up, when you get to a door and there's a dog taller than you by far snarling at you and you've already locked yourself between doors and fences and can't get out. That's the most hazardous experience I've had.
All right.
Down to a mailman experience, huh?
Billy, yeah. Billy, I'm out of time. Thank you for an entertaining call. And Tom Hayden, thank you for joining us today. Who are you going to vote for governor?
I'm going to vote for Phil Angelides, and the reasons are on the Huffington Post.
All right. We'll look it up there. Tom Hayden, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Again soon. Always a pleasure. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Chris Tonsing about the Middle East here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
40 Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
So tell me, Norma, just who is this Robert Owen who is running for sheriff of Monterey County?
Robert Owen lives in Soledad, and he has 30 years of experience in law enforcement. Robert Owen is a Monterey County jail sergeant who has dedicated his life to protect and serve every Monterey County resident. Robert Owen is a devoted and loving father of five children. I should know because Robert Owen is my husband, and he will be the finest sheriff Monterey County has ever had.
Paid for by Robert Owen, candidate for Monterey County Sheriff.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. Now, that's 757-0436.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this New Year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Del Monte Cafe features authentic American food carefully prepared at very reasonable prices. Hungry for delicious omelets, pancakes, sandwiches, and pasta dishes? Come visit us for breakfast and lunch at the Del Monte Cafe, located at 1642 Del Monte Boulevard in Seaside. We're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 7:30 to 2 p.m. For takeout orders, call us at 394-7851. That's 394-7851, the Del Monte Cafe, 1642 Del Monte Boulevard, Seaside.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and that makes me your humble host, Peter B. Collins. Visit my website. It's named after me, peterbcollins.com. That's where you can get full information on your host and on the links to our archive programs, the live stream every weekday, and all that kind of stuff. peterbcollins.com. Drop me an email, too, if you're so inclined. Coming up next hour in the Free Speech Zone, Matt Renner, my producer, is going to give us a summary of Robert F. Kennedy's powerful cover story in the new Rolling Stone about the stolen election in Ohio 2004. It's not news here, but it is making news. Joining us this half hour is the editor of the Middle East Report, Chris Tonsing, who's been on our program many times in the past. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. How do you feel about this new desire in Washington for robust diplomacy with the regime in Tehran?
Well, it's certainly preferable to the saber-rattling that we've been hearing from Washington for the past couple of months.
Indeed.
And I think it's, to some extent, prompted by the charm offensive coming from the Iranian regime over the same period. We had the letter from President Ahmadinejad, and we had two other communications from fairly high-level people in the Iranian regime suggesting various modes of potential communication over the nuclear issue between the United States and Iran. And those did not play very well in the States, but abroad in Europe they played quite well. They looked like Iran was the one that was holding out the olive branch and the U.S. was keeping its ears shut. And I think that the offer extended by Condoleezza Rice should be understood partly in that context of wanting to show both Europeans, the global public, and also the American public that the United States is also prepared to talk on certain conditions.
Now, this is a little off subject, but I can't resist. We know that George W. Bush has an iPod. What I don't know is if he has an instant messenger account. And I imagine it would be decider@whitehouse.gov.
Yeah.
But I'm just curious if beyond the 18-page letter that President Ahmadinejad sent to Washington, if you're aware or if you think there may have been other back-channel communications.
There probably were. And there was a public communication published, I believe, in Time magazine a week after the president's letter, which was a fairly detailed letter from an ex-Iranian nuclear negotiator about how Iran and the U.S. could come to some kind of rapprochement over the nuclear issue. That communication may or may not have been authorized by the real power centers in Iran. It's always very difficult to know exactly who's calling the shots in Iran.
But it was the sign of
the desire to talk on their part.
It does appear that the attempt to set up a channel between Zalmay Khalilzad, who is an intimate of the Bush administration, one of the neocons who brought us the Project for a New American Century, formerly was on assignment in Kabul. Now he's in Baghdad running our occupation there. And there were attempts to broker talks between Khalilzad and representatives of the government in Tehran. And that appears to have fallen apart completely.
Yeah, and that was just on the narrow issue of not
allegedly,
issue, but the issue of Iraq.
Yeah.
And what, if anything, Iran could do to probably rein in some of the Shiite militias that are associated with the new Iraqi security services.
Mm-hmm.
And those talks, to our knowledge, never took place unless they took place behind closed doors.
And do you get any sense that Tony Blair's visit to the White House last week produced this, I would describe it as a change in our public position? I'm not so sure it represents an overall change.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that since the time that Rice came in as Secretary of State, one of the things that impressed her about her visits to Europe in particular is how far apart the United States was, at least from European public opinion, on the issue of Iran. In Europe, it seems like the United States is the aggressive party here. And I think, you know, she has been on somewhat of a, she has been on somewhat of a mission to at least change the tone of U.S. diplomacy vis-a-vis Iran and to quiet down a little bit the hawkishness coming from people like Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Bolton, and substitute for that a more conciliatory tone.
But I feel like Blair provided some adult counseling for Bush, said, you know, please take the nuclear option off the table. It would be horrendous to nuke a country to prevent them from developing a nuclear capability, if we use the language of the White House. And, you know, secondly, that the brinksmanship was not producing any of the desired result. It appeared that Tehran, and in particular Ahmadinejad, have been able to outspin the president.
Yes, and that's completely true. And the core reason for that, of course, is that the right that the Iranians are insisting they have is a right that they do in fact have.
Well,
under the treaty they signed.
And Condi acknowledged that. I've got the text here yesterday.
He did. Yeah.
He said, the Iranian people believe they have a right to civil nuclear energy. We acknowledge that right. Now, this is a very important statement. We have not quite said that ever before, have we?
No, not in so many words. But it's still somewhat short of the right that the Iranians do have under the Non-Proliferation Treaty, which they do have a right to develop an indigenous fuel cycle. In other words, develop the capacity to generate nuclear power on their own soil in a process completely managed by them. And that's precisely what the U.S. is demanding that they suspend research into in order to talk about their nuclear program. What the U.S. appears to be saying now is we will agree that you can have nuclear power plants, but the ability to generate that power, we're not sure yet that you should be allowed to have that. And I think probably the Iranians are going to hold firm that they do have that right, and they're going to continue to pursue the capability to generate nuclear power.
Chris Tonsing with us from the Middle East Report here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, can I restate what you just said in a slightly different way? Because my perception is...
A convoluted way, I'm sure.
No. My perception is that Rice said, here's the news. We acknowledge some of your rights, and we're willing to engage in direct bilateral talks if you stop enriching uranium.
Right.
And my perception of what the message back in return from Tehran was that we will be happy to engage in bilateral talks, and we are not going to stop enriching uranium.
Yes.
And so are we simply talking past each other to a bluff point down the road?
That's very possible. Certainly, if you read the New York Times article that came out after Rice's offer, that seemed to be the take of many of the people they spoke to, that this was a gambit on Rice's part in internal White House deliberations designed to essentially check off a box for Cheney and the more hawkish members of the administration on what everyone views as a long, winding road toward an eventual military confrontation with Iran over the nuclear program and other outstanding issues.
So with that in mind, did the White House actually learn something from the missteps of Iraq?
Well, perhaps they learned the wrong lesson, because that's precisely what, that's one way of seeing the whole, you know, 13-year-long U.S.-Iraqi confrontation, is that, for instance, if you take the issue of the economic sanctions that were imposed on Iraq by the U.N. after the 90 invasion of Kuwait, Those sanctions, nominally, the purpose of them was to ensure Iraq's adherence to UN resolutions about disarmament. But in fact, from very early on, the U.S. hinted and then actually stated in 1997 that the sanctions would never be lifted until the regime itself changed. And so the stated purpose of the sanctions was undercut by statements from the most powerful member of the Security Council indicating that the sanctions had another agenda entirely, and it completely undermined any incentive that the Iraqis might have had to cooperate fully with the UN.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that magic couplet, regime change, And as I mentioned, I have a copy of the text from Secretary Rice's comments yesterday in Washington. And Chris, so just a little game for you. On page one here, there are seven references to the government in Tehran. Your guess, how many of them use the term government and how many of them use the term regime?
Is it five for regime and two for government?
You win the big prize, a free trip to Tehran.
Excellent. I'll take it.
As I heard those words, I was working on my crunchy raisin bran at the time yesterday. Secretary Rice intoned that word regime with a little curl of the lip, a little vitriol, and it was a clear cue to me that they are laying the groundwork here by continually referring to it as a regime, because Americans now know that when you got a regime, the next step is regime change.
Well, that's very possible. I mean, I do think that all of the moves that are made in foreign policy are partially aimed at a domestic audience and intended to lay the groundwork for such actions as the Bush administration may want to take in the future. And they definitely want to create a record in the public's memory of the U.S. reaching out, the U.S. being conciliatory, the U.S. bending over backwards to do everything it can, similar to the whole history of the U.S.-Iraqi confrontation, so that when push comes to shove, as certainly Cheney believes it will, I think, the public is prepared and believes that the U.S. has done everything it can to avoid a confrontation.
So then this is rhetorically laying the groundwork, both in terms of the good cop role the United States has played, just trying to get this rogue nation in line, and then if we run into obstacles where Tehran continues to say no to our desires to prevent their development of a nuclear weapon, that will create the justification for Security Council action, and that probably they'd go for a one-step process this time instead of the two-step process that was never completed for Iraq.
Possibly. Of course, the Iranians could throw a spanner in the works by agreeing to the conditions and saying, okay, let's have talks.
Yeah. I love that phrase, spanner in the works. I think of a Mark Knopfler or a Dire Straits song. There's one about a big spanner.
Right.
All right, Chris, we're going to take a break and return. If you have a question or comment for Chris Tonsing from the Middle East Report about any situation, including Iran, Iraq, or Israel and Palestine, join us on the phone right now. 831-899-5792 is a local call on the Central Coast, or you can call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540.
Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you personalities and interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and travel. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored by the Monterey Salinas Transit's Grapevine Express. The Grapevine Express runs weekends from the Aquarium to Carmel Valley. For more information, call toll-free 888-678-2781 or visit the web at mst.org.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to the designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
KRXA 540, where tomorrow morning at 9, Congressman Sam Farr joins Hal and Casey on the show. Right now it's traffic time. Here's Metro Diane.
Well, we have a new thing coming through for Santa Cruz Mound. Southbound 17 before the summit, a stalled vehicle blocking one lane there. In Gilroy, Highway 25 at 101, watch out for some railroad tracks sticking up in the roadway. And in SoCal, southbound 1 after Porter Street, a large box in one of the lanes, so CHP en route for that. And an accident in Gilroy, Watsonville Road at Redwood Retreat Road. A vehicle actually went off the roadway and into a ditch, so CHP en route for that. This report is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Protect your car's engine with clean motor oil. Stop by Napa Auto Parts today and pick up Valvoline conventional motor oil for only $1.99 per quart. Napa, get the good stuff. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. We'll check back with you in about half an hour. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Free Speech Zone coming up right after the top of the hour. We'll be taking your calls, and we're going to tip you off to the details of the article, a lengthy piece that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has written for Rolling Stone magazine about the stolen election in Ohio in 2004. We continue with Chris Tonsing. He's a co-editor or something like that. I don't have his bio in front of me. Co-editor, right?
Editor.
Oh, editor. Okay. He doesn't have to share that share with anybody. That's at the Middle East Report. And you're on the web at merip.org, right?
That's right.
Yeah, very good. And we've got Dave on the line from the Pinnacles this afternoon. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Peter. Hey, thanks for having another great guest. Hey, Chris, what did you think about this eyebrow-raising news flash, Iran comes up with a 200-mile-an-hour torpedo? It just seemed to me like it's not China, Russia, Britain, or the United States that develops this technology, but it's Iran. It just, the story just seems so contrived. Is this particularly written for the domestic audience here in the United States to spark fear in ourselves?
Keep in mind that the Iranian government also has an interest in publicizing news, somewhat inflated news of its military capabilities.
For sure.
To impress and awe its own public and to reassure its own public about its ability to survive some kind of military confrontation. So I think, you know, both parties have an interest in inflating.
So it's kind of like the same reason why bin Laden's alive. It keeps everybody happy and motivated.
Yeah.
Right on.
Comparison to bank.
It just seems so contrived. I mean, we never heard of a 200-mile-an-hour torpedo until all of a sudden, well, gee whiz, Iran can do it. I mean, I'm just very suspect of news articles like this.
Right. And the reason why Western governments publicize news about Iranian torpedo capacity is that the idea is that if Iran were attacked or put under comprehensive economic sanctions, that they might use torpedo boats to close the Straits of Hormuz, and thereby, which is a fairly narrow strait choke point through which a great deal of Persian Gulf oil passes on its way to Europe, the United States, and Japan, and the idea is that Iran could shut down a great deal of the world oil trade by using its torpedo boats.
Well, absolutely. It doesn't take much of an imagination.
Right.
Hey, well, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Always good to hear from you. And that leaves a line open if you'd like to talk with us, 831-899-5792. Chris Tonsing, let's turn to another flashpoint, and that is Israel-Palestine. It hasn't been helpful in the last few weeks to see these almost daily reports of Hamas and Fatah fighting it out on the streets. And that, of course, is a depiction of the larger struggle between those two factions of the Palestinian people. And it, in my view, it only gives support and I guess, a kind of credibility to the Israeli position. What's your sense about what's causing these struggles on the streets? And do you think that this will lead to simply an erosion of unity in the Palestinian camps? Or will it kind of sort itself out and lead to more of a unified approach?
Well, there are a couple of basic causes of the internecine strife in Gaza and elsewhere. The first is simple economics, that the Palestinian Authority under Hamas has been cut off from a lot of its international aid money, and as a result, it's increasingly unable to pay the salaries of civil servants, including a lot of members of the security services. A lot of the members of the security services are loyal to one branch or another of Fatah, and they're taking out their anger about their lack of pay on Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger, the sort of more subterranean thing that's going on is that even before the elections in January that Hamas did so well in, Fatah was already scheming about how to ensure that Hamas's tenure in government was short. And they have, in other words, that Hamas will not serve out its entire normal tenure in the ministries before there are new elections for parliament in 4 years. And so they have been in high-level discussions with the U.S. About how to bring that about. And the U.S. and the West are doing their part by refusing to talk to the Hamas government, and also by
cutting off funds,
imposing economic sanctions.
Yeah.
Fatah is doing its part by encouraging, to some extent, this chaos on the ground, which makes Hamas look like they can't govern.
Mm-hmm. Before we go to another call, can you just help me on pronunciation? Because I've talked to a number of Arabs and Arab Americans, and I get confused about Hamas. Fatah, you kind of said feta, almost like feta cheese.
Yeah. Yeah. It's either Hamas or Hamas is correct, depending on where you're from in the Arab world. If you're from the eastern part, you would say more like Hamas, and if you're from the western part, you would say Hamas. And since I learned Arabic in Egypt, I say Hamas.
Okay.
Feta is kind of a, it should be, it's an acronym. And so the A sounds are kind of schwas. And so it sometimes comes out sounding like feta cheese.
Yeah. I see. Okay. Because I think of Fatah and Arafat. And,
Yeah. You
know, I recognize that I...
You're doing just fine.
I'm way out of my league. That's what I know.
Fine.
Julie and Carmel, bail us out here. You're on the air with Chris Tonsing.
Yeah, I'd love to. This probably is in the realm of fantasy on my part. But given the disastrous leadership in Iraq with respect to Rumsfeld and the armed forces, do you see any possibility? I know this, just military coups just don't happen in this country, but nothing happens until it happens. And I'm just wondering, do you think that the military leaders would be so opposed to the way that this would be directed that they might sit down on it? I mean, is that even a possibility of a possibility?
Well, Julie, first of all, you are correct that it doesn't happen until it happens.
Right.
But I also think that the biggest check on that is the corporations that service the Pentagon.
Right.
And that too many of our military brass are looking forward to big incomes from a Halliburton or a McDonnell Douglas or you know, one of those companies down the road. And I think that would keep them loyal to the White House.
Yeah,
so.
I forgot about that.
Chris, your thought?
Well, I think what you said is true, and I also think we shouldn't discount the fact that, by and large, the officer corps, the professional military, takes very seriously the idea that the U.S. military is civilian-controlled and that they are subordinate to civilian control. They take that; they really are loyal to that idea and see it as a foundation of the American system. And so I think the situation would have to get pretty bad for that to be seriously contemplated. That said, I mean, the public speaking out against Rumsfeld by retired generals, perhaps the New Yorker story from Seymour Hersh about the military plans against Iran, those are signs of serious discontent in the military brass with Rumsfeld's leadership and with the with the ideas coming out of the White House and out of the civilian leadership at the Pentagon, and they're fighting back in ways that we haven't seen in a long, long time. So they are not inert objects. You know, they are standing up for what they think is right.
All right, Julie.
Well,
thank you very much.
Thank you
for thinking outside the locks.
Thank you.
Okay, Chris. This just popped into my head. What the hell's Karen Hughes been up to, and how are we doing with that Hearts and Minds project in the Middle East?
Well, Karen Hughes has taken a couple of listening tours in the Middle East. Not recently, but last year she took a couple, and she discovered, and apparently it really was news to her, that the reason why people in the Islamic world broadly are angry at the United States is not because they don't understand us, it's because they don't like our policies, and their attitude about us is not likely to fundamentally change until our policies change. This is perhaps not news to many of your listeners, but apparently it really was news to Karen Hughes, and she therefore came back from her tours and I think has decided that there maybe isn't much that that she can do, given the fact that she does not have power really to change the policy in any arena. One positive change that she has effected, mm-hmm. I would say, is discontinuing the funding for the State Department's Arabic language glossy magazine called Hi, which was a complete waste of taxpayer money.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Thank you very much, Chris Tonsing. We'll talk again soon.
Okay.
Middle East Report on the web, MERIP.org.
And religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
If you missed the show, then you missed Hal's outstanding career advice.
You know, Coach, there's some vacancies in Baghdad right now for some correspondents.
Oh.
We can always send you out there.
Feel the Love. Weekday mornings, 9 to 10, the show on KRXA 540 AM.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Chris Mavridis. Back on April the 26th, an Iraqi man was killed in Baghdad. One of so many who die there on a daily basis, but this case is different. His death allegedly came at the hands of seven U.S. Marines and an American sailor. Now the Associated Press says military prosecutors plan to charge him with murder, kidnapping, and conspiracy. Those eight enlisted men are locked up at the brig at Southern California's Camp Pendleton. In case you're confused, this is not the same case as the one in Haditha, where a group of Marines are being investigated in an alleged civilian massacre. Today, that case forced some action.
The battalion commander of the 3rd Battalion, 1st Marines, the battalion involved, he was relieved along with two of his company commanders.
CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland says
that occurred after they had returned back to Camp Pendleton, and the officials did not know if their relief was related at all to events in Haditha or was just simply the fact that the division commander had lost full confidence in those particular officers.
One of those officers, Captain James Kimber, says he's a political casualty, insisting he wasn't even in Haditha when Marines allegedly opened fire on unarmed civilians, including women and children. A whole lot of testifying in the Big Easy today. This is how they swear in a mayor, New Orleans style. Ray Nagin started his second term today. This is also the start of the hurricane season.
We will rebuild New Orleans. Together. We will rebuild New Orleans together.
But not everyone's ready for that. CBS's Kemi McCormick.
They're not ready to rebuild in this corner of Louisiana near the Texas border. They haven't finished cleaning up from Hurricane Rita. And Diane Connor says with so much attention focused on New Orleans, they feel forgotten.
Do you ever hear them talk about Rita?
No.
Wendell Wilkerson says the cleanup has been slow.
There's actually houses out in the swamp.
With no shelter other than FEMA trailers, most residents won't be returning here until after this hurricane season passes.
California's National Guard troops are heading to the border.
We're doing this, may I remind you, reluctantly.
Governor Schwarzenegger and President Bush were at odds about this. The governator didn't want to pay to send his troops on border jumper lookout. Today they came up with a solution. Schwarzenegger's troops go, and the president picks up the tab. Check your computer today?
You've got mail.
Not if you're on AOL. Millions of users didn't get that message you sent. Now who's going to see that picture of your Datsun wearing a bow tie? Help us out, Larry Magid.
This is not a case of people losing their mail. AOL says that they are queuing the mail, which means they're saving it, backing it up, and they will deliver it eventually. So hopefully people will get their mail, but there's going to be a delay.
CBS tech guru says those emails will eventually get to you. On Wall Street, the Dow was up 92 points. The NASDAQ was up 41. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic weekend getaway? Well, how about 3 days and 2 nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 877-33- Go win. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 877-33-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 877-33-GO-WIN. Call now.
When you think of terror, images of 9/11 and suicide bombers likely come to mind. But what about this? CBS's Jim Chenevy says terror could come this way, too.
According to computer security experts, cyber terrorists could unleash all kinds of havoc by targeting systems that manage physical processes. We're talking computers that do things, like open and shut valves. It doesn't sound like a big deal unless the valves are in a nuclear power plant. Even something seemingly insignificant, like changing the specs at a car factory so that it makes cars that are unsafe. Jim Chenevy, CBS News.
So, just how much would you pay for a plate and a white star-lined flag? How about if the plate said SS Titanic on it? And what if both were fished out of that ship's murky resting spot? Now what would you pay? Some guy coughed up $72,000 for it, more than New York auction house Christie's was expecting. Chris Mavridis, CBS News.
If you're living in a space that's too small, or too large, or too old, or just too ugly, here's what you do. Take a 2x4 to the problem. Maybe some 2x6s. Heck, just take all your lumber and give it to a member of the American Institute of Architects. We'll design a home that fits your needs and your budget to a T. Call an AIA architect early, so your living space won't be too this or too that, but just right. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
Michelin presents a Michelin Manifesto.
The Michelin Man is trying to match every driver up with a savvy crew chief. Your Michelin dealer can show you how Michelin Pilot Performance Sport tires help deliver race-inspired grip and handling on wet and dry pavement, so you can achieve the confidence that comes from uncompromising performance with your car. See your Michelin dealer or MichelinMan.com.
Michelin, a better way forward.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, launching into our third and final hour today in the free speed zone. I want to hear from you. And topic A is about the election in Ohio in 2004. If you're a regular listener, you know that the P in Peter B. Collins stands for Buckeye. I am a son of the great state of Ohio, and I'm thoroughly embarrassed about what the Republican machine did there in 2004. And as we open up the phone lines to hear from you this afternoon, I'd like to ask our producer, Matt Renner, to summarize this powerful new article that was just released today from Rolling Stone magazine, penned by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And the question in the headline is, was the 2004 election stolen? And it's welcome to see a man with a great Democratic name and legacy, sticking his neck out and taking on an issue that much of the media has moved on from, Matt.
Yeah, I agree. I think that this is an interesting article also because he really takes us through it piece by piece. I mean, you and I and a number of our listeners know a lot of the details of the rigging of the election in 2004, and he walks us through it so that if we hadn't had that background information, he provides it. I mean, the man took 16 pages and 208 footnotes to go ahead and get the full picture out there. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So what are some of the key points that he makes, some of which, again, our listeners may be familiar with?
Well, he takes us through the 10... He has 10 sections, and they are the exit polls and how the data didn't match up with the exit polls and was actually statistically impossible.
Right. And it cost us, of course, exit polls cost us to demand a rerun of the election in the Ukraine, but not in Ohio or the United States.
Right. And a lot of the same exit polling officials or people who are in charge of it also were the ones who are in charge of declaring elections in Mexico previously to be sound, and we don't trust them in this country, apparently. The next point was the partisan officials, specifically Blackwell. He focuses on the Secretary of State, Kenneth Blackwell, who used a lot of his influence and even compared himself to Martin Luther King and Gandhi in the process to rig the election and disenfranchise voters.
He's a front runner for governor of Ohio this year.
That's terrifying.
Yes, it is.
The third point was the strike force.
And that was a Republican team that went to intimidate people and try to keep them away from the polls, challenge them when they showed up.
And they were pretty well organized, it sounds like, and needed some inside help, and they got it. The barriers to registration was another interesting section where they rigged the system so that people couldn't register unless it was on a specific weight of paper that was unwaxed and is ridiculous. Number five is the wrong pew, which is in quotations, and it's basically that the provisional ballots that were mandated by federal law weren't provided to the correct people. And this is actually where I think Blackwell compared himself to Martin Luther King and Gandhi, saying he's going against a federal law to protect some kind of sanctity of the election process.
How wonderful.
Yeah.
How lofty.
Those guys must have been flipping over a number of times in their grave. Then the next section is long lines, which kind of goes through the lack of equipment needed to actually do the voting in the Democratic sections of Ohio.
Yeah, there were many precincts where machines were available in that county but had not been delivered to the precinct, and many people think that was an intentional effort to suppress the vote.
And it's pretty amazing, too. I remember that day looking and seeing the lines and thinking, this is outrageous. What's going on? Why are people waiting 6 hours to vote when it took me 15 minutes?
Well, my mom votes in a heavily Republican precinct in southern Ohio, and she told me there was no wait at her precinct.
Drive-through.
Yeah.
And then you know the window's at SUV height. The next section, section 7, is faulty machines, where he goes through and talks about, you know, not all the votes in Ohio were cast on voting machines, but the ones that were, there was a lot of problems, and many of them were shut down in the middle of the day because votes were flipping from Kerry to Bush as people entered them.
Yeah.
The next section, section 8, is rural counties, where thousands of Kerry votes were lost. And I believe thousands of votes for Bush showed up in the middle of, or right at the end of the voting day.
Well, I'm not, since I haven't read it, I can't be sure which county he or counties he might be referring to. But there were a number of precincts that reported votes for Bush at the rate of 4 to 6 times the total number of voters in the precinct.
Right.
And so that those numbers were backed out in the final tally. But it's just an indication that we don't know how many counties or precincts where it may have occurred that, you know, these kind of anomalies popped up. But because they didn't exceed total registration, people didn't notice.
Right. It was something like 97% turnout and then 7% turnout in the African-American district, something like that. Section 9 is rigging the recount.
Yeah.
Where I don't know the details of that because I didn't read the article yet, but it sounds like they did a fake recount ahead of time. And
well,
used it as the real one?
Brad Friedman from BradBlog has, and also Harvey Wasserman and Bob Fetrakis in Columbus, they have concluded that there were a number of unusual events just before this partial recount where technicians were sent to test the machines to make sure that the recount went smoothly. And it is believed that votes were jiggered in that process.
And I think that he provides really good detail on the rigging the recount section. The last section is what is at stake, which is the, I think, a very powerful conclusion. I didn't read the whole thing since I got this about an hour ago, but it is what seems to be his opinion on what this, what is pretty much 100% positive that there was manipulation in this election,
mm-hmm.
not just in Ohio, but in the other 10 of the other battleground states.
Yeah.
And he brings it full circle and puts it out there that, you know, we can't allow this to happen again or else democracy is over in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for that summary, Matt. And I'll be, when I find time, maybe over the weekend, I'll catch up with that article from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And should be very interesting.
One more thing I want to throw out there
mm-hmm. That
was nice to see is that a couple of the footnotes detailed work by one of our favorite contributors, Larissa Alexandrovna.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Brad blog before. Brad is a contributor who will be on Friday, and I'm sure will not stop talking about this article for the whole 45 minutes, but is very happy to see RFK Jr. asking for a full investigation of the electronic voting machine. So
mm-hmm. It
looks like we're making some progress, and it's really nice to see. I have a feeling that this is going to catch fire, and
yeah. This
could be a good tipping point
mm-hmm. For
the people to start waking up and realizing that, you know, it's been hijacked and this country is no longer a free democracy.
Yeah. I love that concept of the tipping point, and I'm still waiting.
Yeah.
Tip, tip, tip. Come please, on. Tip.
We just got to keep pushing it.
Thank you, Matt Renner.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that summary of the new Robert F. Kennedy article in the latest issue of Rolling Stone. And that turns to you. My lines are open, and I'd like to hear your thoughts about whether this is, in fact, a tipping point, whether you think that electronic and corporate media in this country will pick up the story now with renewed interest and renewed vigor. Because, hey, if Fox News put as much into the Ohio story, pardon me, as they have, say, the Natalie Holloway story or the Duke rape story, wow, what a different country this would be. So, my lines are open for you. No guests or other interlopers the remainder of this hour. And I want you to chime in and let me know what you think. On the Central Coast, 831-899-5792. That's 831-899-KRXA. I'm here in Monterey today at our flagship station, KRXA 540. You can also call me toll-free. Lines are available at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And still dangling out there, I'm interested in your thoughts on next Tuesday's primary election. I imagine most of our listeners are Democratic. And if you'd like to talk about the Wesley-Angelides race or any of the other important candidate races that are on the ballot, or maybe you want to talk about Prop 82, which we discussed earlier on the program today, join me right now. Lines are open, and it's the free speech zone, so use those free speech rights while they're still available. Again, 831-899-5792. Or toll-free, 888-579-2540 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, meet the producer of an exciting new TV show, The Investor Showcase, seen on Comcast 26. John Brown, the producer, is also the president and CEO of Brown Developments. Learn about wholesale properties, fixer-uppers, pre-construction, redevelopment projects, fractional ownership programs, and land investment. That's this week on Rock Roller Real Estate, heard every Sunday morning at 10, right here on this station and all over Northern California. Also, listen online at rockrollerrealestate.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay area such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue. with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
KRXA 540, where tomorrow morning at 9, Hal and Casey present the show. Has anybody warned Sam Farr what to expect? The congressman will join them tomorrow. Now traffic with Metro Diane.
We have an injury accident in Prunedale. It's northbound 101 at Pisanti Road. Two vehicles involved in this. They are blocking the second lane from the left. Emergency crews are actually on scene, so traffic is backed up quite a bit in the area. It's actually backed up all the way to Rouse. In Gilroy, Watsonville Road at Redwood Retreat Road, we have a two-vehicle accident. And Highway 17, both directions checking through the Santa Cruz Mountains, fell an accident free. This report is brought to you by MontBleu Resort Casino and Spa. Tahoe's reached a higher elevation at MontBleu Resort Casino and Spa, home to big-name entertainment, sexy nightlife, world-class dining, and gaming that never stops. MontBleu cosmopolitan by nature. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. We'll check back one more time in about half an hour. And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on, 20 minutes past the hour. My lines are open for you in the free speech zone, and if there's something you'd like to talk about and I haven't mentioned it, feel free to bring it on. I am open to any topic you'd like to discuss from any point of view, and you can call from anywhere you happen to be listening. Lines are open on the Central Coast, 831-899-5792, and toll free, too. That's available for you, 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Maybe you'd like to comment on the remarks by Tom Hayden just about an hour ago about the battle between progressives and the rest of the Democratic Party in this year's midterm election. And there's a lot of other stuff we can talk about, Iran, Iraq, and, of course, the various issues that we brought up earlier today about Proposition 82 and the report from Washington on the Senate debate that continues about extending the rollback of the estate tax past 2010. All those up for grabs or anything else you'd like to talk about, 831-899-5792, 1-888-579-2540. So there's nobody on the line right now, and I thought I'd take a moment here to pull a little video report off of CNN. And this is a story that, to me, epitomizes what's wrong with the corporate media in this country today. This is a story of interest only, I think, to people in Massachusetts. But I'd like your opinion, and you can help me decide this. There is a gentleman who is in prison for life in the Commonwealth. It's not a state of Massachusetts. He was sentenced to life for killing his wife. And since he went to prison, he has discovered that he's more comfortable as a woman. And so he's asking the state of Massachusetts to pay for a sex change operation. And in order to induce the state to do that, his lawyers say that if they don't permit it, then his sentence amounts to cruel and unusual punishment. Let's see how CNN played this story that is airing today, and I pulled it off their website just a minute ago.
In the years since his 1993 conviction for
the murder of his wife, Cheryl, here?
Robert Kosolek has essentially transitioned to a woman, now calling herself Michelle. In prison at MCI Norfolk.
Kind of hard for you to hear. It's a guy named Mike, who's now named Michelle, who's in jail for life.
But now, Kosolek says she must have a life-saving sex
change. So she says she must have a sex change operation. And this is where her attorneys go to court and claim that it's a cruel and unusual punishment. And I won't subject you to having to try to listen to that with low audio. But you get the point. This is the kind of story that sells supermarket tabloids. And our televised media in this country have become so slavish to ratings, so desperate to make money, that they feed us this crap on a daily basis. And I single it out just because I'm tired of it. Are you? I'd like to know what you think. Let me know on the phone this afternoon. My number's again, 831-899-5792, or toll free at 1-888-579-2540. Up first, we've got Alice in Humboldt. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Peter.
How are you doing today?
Well, fair.
Good.
I wish I could change things in a hurry.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I think it is clear from RFK's report that Bush is in the White House by fraud. We think he should be required to leave, and leave now.
Well, why don't we offer him a job as the CEO of Banana Republic? Because the way he got into office, he has converted the United States to a banana republic, Alice.
Yeah, that's right. I'm all for it.
Yeah. Well, okay. I agree with you, and I just hope that the RFK article and the impact that it has, presumably on some younger Americans, because Rolling Stone does reach a less geriatric audience, that it will produce a reaction, and people will say, wait a minute, somebody stole my government.
Well, I tell you, they better wake up.
All right. Alice, always a pleasure to hear from you. Thanks for checking in. Now to Lisa in Eureka. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Again, I'm aghast. You know, like I was saying before a long time ago, Tasmania's looking pretty good. And you say, you know, president or CEO of Banana Republic. No, let's make him the CEO of Nothing Incorporated.
Yeah.
The only thing he has to do is nothing.
Well, you're more accurate than I am. I just couldn't resist the Banana Republic joke.
I know.
Yeah. So what do we need to do, though, to impress on people? There's so many people, even folks who agree with me and probably you politically, who don't think this is important. It's like we're crying over spilt milk, they would say.
I don't think that's the case anymore. He's got the lowest opinion polls of any second-term president in the history of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
That accounts for something. That means people are paying attention. And I think June's going to really be, the next week is going to be a real telltale sign to see exactly where people are at. Yeah, if they vote the same old song and dance that we've been flying with for the last 5 years, then basically the United States is going to get what it deserves.
Well, I share your view there, because often on this program I rail against conservative Democrats, I rail against the media, but I think it's also important to point out that the public has an obligation here. All the information we're talking about Ohio, about stolen elections, it's available to anybody who wants to put down the remote and turn off American Idol and spend a few minutes studying it.
But the biggest problem of all of this, Peter, is the people that are out there listening to all the bull are the people that are interested in the 30-second soundbite. And you have to understand that it takes 20 minutes to explain the 30-second soundbite's wrong. People don't want the 30-minute story. They want the 30-second soundbite. And that's the biggest problem, that the attention span of the United States has gotten to be 30 seconds.
And you just delivered a very powerful analysis in less than 30 seconds, Lisa.
Well, you know, because my mentality is a little bit bigger.
All right. Thanks a lot for
Have
checking
a good
in.
Day.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
And my media player keeps going after that cheesy story from CNN. Now they are confirming that they haven't found Jimmy Hoffa's body. That's breaking news. I mean, that is really important. Jose and Salinas, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
My brother Peter, how you doing?
Pretty good, Jose. Good to talk to you.
Hey, same here, brother. Listen, I'm pissed off as always when it comes to the Democrats, should I say.
Yeah.
And them watering down our core issues and all that, and going from the left to the middle, to the right. You know, it's like, who's a Democrat out there? Look what's happening here in the county of Monterey. you know, with these supervisory seats and assembly seats,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like, you know, these Democrats just don't look like Democrats to me. And I think you know who I'm talking about without mentioning any names.
Yeah.
You know, and as far as that big news break from CNN over there in Mass. Oh, and by the way, Mass is a state. The last time I found out, I didn't know it was the Commonwealth. But anyway, besides that, you know, obviously they have nothing better to report on.
Well, and my view is that they're using market research, the same surveys and focus groups that deliver the Drek reality shows that are so cheap but so popular,
yeah,
and
yeah.
they're using that to detect what it is that causes Americans to turn on the TV and get glued to it. And
you know
so
what?
They give us all these cheeseball stories because that's what morons are willing to watch.
Well, I guess, Peter, the news has become big business. You know,
well, yeah, Katie Couric is going to take a few months off and, you know, go to some reprogramming camp and come back as a news anchor.
There you go. You know, but I want to really touch up on the Democrats, you know, Peter, you know, because I'm with you on that. You know, look at the Jane Harmans, the Liebermans, you know,
the Feinstein.
On a national scale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you have these individuals locally, which I'm telling you, I'm biting my tongue right now because I want to mention their name over the airways, but I better not.
Well, just say Anna and you'll cover it. Hey, listen, I got to run. Great to talk to you, Jose.
All right, Peter.
More of your calls coming up in the Free Speech Zone right here on the Peter B. College
Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Join R.J. Moyer for his weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from Reality Radio. Join me this Saturday evening, 6 to 7, where you never know what's going to happen because we're real. We have interesting guests like a survivor of the 1958 nuclear bomb test at Ground Zero, a former career drug dealer gone straight, or you can just shoot the breeze with Kate and me.
Sheila, may I say something?
No, not now. I promise you'll never be bored.
But Sheila...
We're number one reality radio. Each Saturday evening, 6 to 7, with me, Sheila Gale...
And Kate, me.
On AM 540 KRXA.
Hi, Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary, our 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com. Our corporate transportation program offers competitive rates, we answer the phone 24/7, and you get a real person. And we have the best professional chauffeurs. We cover all the airports including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ballgame. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or MontereyLimos.com.
Tom Hartman.
When Thomas Jefferson wrote Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness into the Declaration of Independence in 1776, it was the first time in the history of the world that the word happiness had been used in the founding document of any so-called civilized nation.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And Ronald Reagan was the guy who began to take it apart. He was the perfect frontman for really what was fundamentally a vicious idea.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
I want to know what you're thinking. There are some things you can't hide. I wanna know what you're feeling. Tell me what's on your mind.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the Free Speech Zone, and I'd like to know what's on your mind. For some reason, people are really shy about talking about the Democratic contest for governor shaping up in Tuesday's primary. And I know that one-third of voters, according to the polls, one-third of Democrats, haven't made up their minds yet. So if you're in that boat, I'd like to hear from you. Lines are open for you in the Free Speech Zone, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free 1-888-579-2540. Tomorrow on our program, former U.S. Senator from Alaska, Mike Gravel, will return to our show. He's announced his candidacy for the Democratic presidential nomination in 2008. And he's running on a platform of offering a national referendum. We've talked about it before, and he'll be back with us tomorrow. Also, congressional candidate Lisa Ray, who would like the opportunity to defeat John Doolittle up there in, I think it's District 3 or District 4. She's going to kick off our show tomorrow. And Dan Weintraub from the Sacramento Bee, who covers politics there. He'll be with us on the show tomorrow as well. Next, we've got Chris in Salinas. Hello, Chris. You're on the air.
How you doing, Peter?
Not bad today.
Hey, I just wanted to recommend, you know, I'm too late for the primary, but if we want to keep an eye on the elections and election machines, mm-hmm. that we need to volunteer for the precincts and for the registrar of voters, and if there's any problems that arise, then the people who are there can raise questions about it, and that's a really good way to keep an eye on and keep it honest, somewhat honest.
Now, are you doing that? Are you going to volunteer at your polling place?
No, I didn't this year, but I will in November.
Uh-huh. And do you just show up? Do you volunteer through,
the
Democratic Party?
Call the registrar of voters.
Well, you can get hired as a precinct worker. Is that what you mean?
Well, but it's apparently you can work actually down where they collect the votes, you know, and tabulate and do the tabulations down there.
Well, we need to burrow in there because, you know, the other side has burrowed in there.
Yes, exactly.
All right, Chris, that's a great tip.
I just wanted to throw that out. So.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Take it easy.
Yep, good to talk to you. Go to, line one is Kelly in Salinas. Hello, Kelly. Nice to talk to you.
Hi, Peter. I'm actually now in Chular. I'm on a cell phone.
Okay.
But thank you. And
we'll update our database and notify the National Security Agency.
I'm sure they're listening. I just wanted to thank you, too, for KRXA. I have kind of a long commute, and I used to just live on books and tape, and I think I probably listen to KRXA every single day it's been on since you started last year, so thanks for that.
Well, I am delighted. Thank you, too.
And Chris answered kind of my question, or my comment was about voting and knowing that voting machines is an issue as well as some other stuff. Republicans, just as a group, they walk in lockstep. The Democrats, one of the provocative things about them, and there's so many people who call themselves Democrats, which you probably like herding cats in some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear a lot of the complaints about how they've fixed things, the voting machines don't work, there's long lines. And so I know those things occurred. What I would like to start hearing, and Chris gave a good recommendation just now, is going down to the Registrar of Voters and helping. But what specific kind of technical things can we do? Who do we talk to? who should we write to say we want to know what Diebold's doing, we want to see what Blackwell's doing, because as many or as fervent as we are in voting and getting the word out, it doesn't mean anything if at 12 o'clock midnight all those votes get flipped because of a technology that we don't have a clue or a handle about.
Well, Kelly, I think you're asking a very good question, and if I could suggest that you call back tomorrow, since you told me you listen almost every day,
If
you call back tomorrow at this time, Brad Friedman, his Bradness from Bradblog, he'll be here, and he is our go-to guy on election issues, electronic voting, the Diebold disease, and all that. And I think he may have some very specific suggestions for us, and I'd love to hear them. So if you can remember to call back on your way home tomorrow, then we'll bring that up with Brad and see if we can get some good suggestions.
Thank you. I certainly will.
All right. And, Kelly, do you want to answer my question about your choice for governor?
Well, Steve Wesley.
Okay. Tell me why.
I got to tell you first, I have been a registered Republican for a long time. And mostly because my dad and my mom, one was a Democrat, one was a Republican, they used to fight and cancel each other's votes out.
Yeah.
I live in a place where I do absentee voting. I really kind of joined the Republican Party just to see how whacked out they were.
Yeah.
And when I, you know, because I wanted to get all the wackadoodle stuff through the mail and say, hey, I'm going to really vote for the craziest person to keep them off balance.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work anymore because the wackadoodles are the ones who are winning. So I got my absentee ballot a couple of days ago and I looked at it and I couldn't do it. I could, you know, even knowing what's going on, I'm going to vote for Wesley. I've got my absentee voter registration completed.
Mm-hmm.
Riding around in the back of my car tomorrow, I'm going to go into the Registrar of Voters and change back so I can vote for Steve Wesley. One of the reasons was I was a land use planner for years and years in Monterey County.
Uh-huh.
And so I knew what Phil Angelides did because I'd heard about him from other places with his violations of the Coastal Commission, the Fish and Game Act, a whole bunch of stuff. And just basically knowing that folks, it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission. If he's done that with the environment and other issues, I just don't believe that I could trust him on some of the other issues he's going to do, and so I am going to vote for Steve Wesley.
Okay. Well, you made your point very well. I honestly am not, I've read some of the critical articles of Angelides, and I've heard his explanations, and, I honestly have not studied his work as a developer and the extent to which he violated environmental regulations. As he tells the story, one of the Wesley commercials that is hitting him on a development that had some violations up at Lake Tahoe, his explanation, which seems reasonable to me, is that he owned a portion of a unit in the complex and that he was not cited, the actual contractor who dumped some sludge. I don't remember exactly what it was, but who contributed to that violation was held responsible. So that's the one story I know. The other developments in Sacramento that are on, I believe, the American River, one of the issues that's been raised is the quality of the levees and other water breaks that were built by Angelides' company. And, again, I don't have any firsthand information on that.
I know, and that's one of the things, too. I spend a lot of time in court, and one of the worst, when an attorney does something and they make a mistake, they'll say, oh, you know, my secretary. Well, your secretary is your secretary. You're still the boss. You still have the responsibility of understanding and knowing what's going on. And somebody mm-hmm. else may have done that, but if you're the boss, it's your company, it's your condominium complex, you still have to take that. And I still believe that.
All right.
Anyway.
Very good. Kelly, great to talk to you, and I hope you'll call back tomorrow, and we'll check out Brad's suggestions on that.
Thank you.
All right. My
Bye-bye.
Pleasure. Up next, and by the way, there's a line open if you'd like to join me, 831-899-5792, or the toll-free circuit, 1-888-579-2540. Now to John in Carmel Valley. Hi, John.
Peter, I got a flyer from the Wesley campaign. It talks about this very thing you've just been mentioning, about his having made all sorts of sleazy money, Angelides, that is, in development.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to ask you, since I don't know anything about any of this, I didn't know how to take it when I got it, still don't, and you just said you didn't know anything about his development period. well, do you know how Wesley made his money? Because I remember you saying he had a lot more money than Angelides.
Yeah, Wesley is one of the founders of eBay, and he is sitting on a personal fortune that is estimated to be north of $200 million.
Really?
And he has pumped $32 or $33 million of his own money into a campaign that so far, I believe, is showing about $36 million altogether. So only $3 million in contributions came from people whose name is not Wesley. And I think that is an interesting description of his support. Now, one of the reasons people may not donate to Steve Wesley is they say, well, he's going to fund it himself, so why should I give money to a fat cat? On the other hand, Angelides has scrapped to raise about $12 million for his campaign. He kicked in about $1.5 million of his own money. My recollection is that Phil Angelides' net worth is somewhere in the $12 to $15 million range, so his $1.5 million hurt a lot more than the $32 that Wesley pulled out of his bank accounts. Putting aside the money issue, to me, I think that the use of the term developer is a very conscious effort by Gary South. Gary South is the lead consultant to the Steve Wesley campaign, and if his name is familiar, he's the guy who brought us Gray Davis, not just once, but twice. And Gary South is a very savvy politico who plays hardball with the best of them. And if you go into political market research polling, you will see that the term developer is a negative for most Democratic voters. Yet many people live in houses that were built by developers. So you can see there's a bit of a dichotomy, if not a direct contradiction, that people think developers are evil, but gosh, who built my house and were they a developer? I don't know. So my take on it here is not to focus on the mud that is being slung by these two candidates here at the very last stages of an extremely tight race. To me, the most significant issue is who could beat Arnold Schwarzenegger in November.
And that sounds so much like the Kerry strategy. When the public got behind Kerry, people who didn't know Kerry from a hole in the ground decided to vote for him just because he could beat Bush. And the whole strategy failed. And in this case, we don't want just a Democrat. We want the best man we can get.
Well,
right?
and we want somebody who can beat the sitting Republican governor, who, you know, in my book is not a complete failure. I think that Gray Davis became a complete failure. I don't think the same of Arnold Schwarzenegger, but I don't agree with many of his policies, and I think that Angelides has hit him on an issue that matters most to the future of California, which is the tuition and fee increases at the Cal and Community College and State College campuses. And Angelides really stuck his neck out, a very risky political move, saying that he would raise taxes on the wealthiest Californians to roll back those increases that are a hidden tax that Schwarzenegger fostered while he was saying that he wouldn't raise taxes. And so, on balance, because he's more dynamic, because he has taken a risky political position that talks about investing in our future and not just pandering to people who want to hear about tax cuts, I give the edge to Angelides, and I hope he wins the Democratic nomination next week because I think he's the better chance of defeating Schwarzenegger.
Well, I agree that Schwarzenegger is not what anyone probably hoped except some diehard Republicans. But
even some of them are disappointed because he's a little too liberal for them.
Maybe appearing right now, but that's so obvious appearing. But anyway,
oh, come on. He said he's willing to raise the minimum wage. That gets a lot of fat cat Republicans really exercised.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it does. But I'll probably vote for Angelides. It's just that you're right. Developer just raises all kinds of negative images, and me in particular.
Mm-hmm. Okay. John, I got to run to a break. Thanks for airing it out with me. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Your call can be next, so get on the line now, 831-899-5792, or toll free, 888-579-2540. It's the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Tom Hartman.
When Thomas Jefferson wrote Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness into the Declaration of Independence in 1776, it was the first time in the history of the world that the word happiness had been used in the founding document of any so-called civilized nation.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And Ronald Reagan was the guy who began to take it apart. He was the perfect frontman for really what was fundamentally a vicious idea.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. KRXA 540 takes a look at traffic one more time. Here's Metro Diane. And go right ahead, Diane. We're looking for Metro Diane right now. Got it pointed up here. Diane, you there? Well, I guess we're not going to make it right now. I will remind you that tomorrow morning on the show, Hal and Casey are going to be talking with Congressman Sam Farr. That's starting at 9:05 tomorrow morning, and I hope somebody has warned the congressman. But be sure to check it out. That's our new local show here on KRXA. Hal and Casey, 9 to 10 a.m. every weekday with the show on KRXA 540. And, Diane, we got time for one or two items. Go ahead.
Okay, well, Prunedale northbound 101 at Pinocchio Road. Minor injury accident we had has been cleared. Traffic is still very heavy approaching the scene. In Felton.
All right, we're out of time. Thank you very much. And we're in the final few minutes here of the Peter B. Collins Show today in the Free Speech Zone. There's still room for more of your calls. Lines open right now at 831-899-5792 or toll free at 888-579-2540. And just during the break there, I popped into a great website called crooksandliars.com. And there is a new report, not about Haditha, but about another town in Iraq where American forces are accused of, well, what could be a massacre. Let's listen to this.
The cameraman who filmed these pictures arrived on the scene so quickly that the fires inside the house were still burning. And contrary to the American version, a good part of it was still standing. There were bullet holes everywhere. And when the cameraman went inside the house, you can see bullet marks on the walls as well. This seems to have been the room where, in the story which the local people and the Iraqi police told, the 11 members of the family were killed. We've obscured some of the details of the bodies because they're too unpleasant to show plainly. It doesn't necessarily look from these pictures as though they'd been shot at close range, though, as local people suggested.
In fact, you can't show any more of these pictures. They're too dreadful. But looking at the bodies of the young children, the babies, it does look very much as though they've died from bullet wounds, not at all from being crushed by a building, as the American version says.
All this happened in the town of Ishaqi, 60 miles north of Baghdad. The raid began after a tip-off that an Al-Qaeda supporter was visiting the house. American troops and helicopters arrived, and a firefight apparently started. The Americans say the building collapsed under heavy fire, and four bodies were found in the rubble. But the Iraqi police version is very different. They say the Americans entered the house while it was still standing and killed all 11 people, including the three children. Only then was the house destroyed. A police officer at the hospital where the bodies were taken said all of them, from the 75-year-old grandmother to the 6-month-old baby, had bullet wounds to the head and stomach. They were killed first, then bombed, he said. American military sources say this is one of 3 or 4 cases they're investigating. Their line is quite clear.
The coalition does not and it will not tolerate any unethical or criminal behavior. Any allegations of such activities will be fully investigated, and any members found to have committed these violations will be held accountable.
Still, Iraqi civilians are killed with great frequency. Yesterday in Samarra, American soldiers shot and killed a heavily pregnant woman and her mother. She'd gone into labor and was being rushed to hospital by car. The driver got in the wrong lane at a checkpoint.
That's a report from the BBC, which, of course, should be widespread in the United States. And, frankly, I haven't watched television in the last day or so. But I would expect that that's a story that you can't find, because they're busy covering the prisoner in Massachusetts who wants a sex change and other, you know, distracting, cheesy stories like that. So if you want to hear that for yourself, you can find it on crooksandliars.com, and it's pretty close to the top of the homepage right now. And as long as we're here, let's have a little fun with Keith Olbermann at the expense of a Fox News anchor. Let's see if we can load this one up. Keith?
In the world. Number 3, Ad Vandenberg, one of the founders of Holland's Charity, Freedom, and Diversity political party. Nice name for party, except their only political aim is to lower the age of consent from 16 to 12. They're pedophiles. Conveniently, in a recent poll in Holland, 82% of respondents said the government should do something to outlaw the party, let alone pedophilia. Number 2, Mern and Robinson, far-right Republican now seeking the congressional seat from the 13th District of North Carolina and setting a lovely tone for this year's campaign by running a radio ad already in which he says of his opponent, quote, if he had his way, America would be nothing but one big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals. Gay bashing, immigrant bashing, Hispanic bashing, you left out Terry Schiavo, pal. But our winner, John Gibson of Fox News, claiming the lead in the race for the biggest rationalization of Haditha. Quoting John, if Iraqis know their own history, they know massacres have been committed in Iraq by warring parties for millennia piled on millennia. This is the part of the world that was in on the massacre game early, unquote. Well, that's all right then. What's one more massacre, huh? John Gibson, today's worst person in the world.
Well, for corporate media, it's a start. Let's check in with Neil Young, who brought us this great new protest CD called Living with War. And this is a tune called Shock and Awe. We're doing a lot more shock these days than they tell us, and we're going to pay a big price.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show today. We got a lot more to bring on for you tomorrow. Congressional candidate Lisa Ray will be with us. Presidential candidate Mike Gravel. Political reporter Dan Weintraub. And we'll have his Bradness, Brad Friedman, on election issues as we get ready for California's primary coming up just a couple of days away next Tuesday.
Thousands of children start from lying. Millions of tears for a soldier's life. Both sides are losing now. Heaven takes the lead. Thousands of children start for life.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Chris Mavridis. Did seven Marines and a U.S. sailor kidnap and kill an Iraqi civilian? Military prosecutors think so, and tonight, according to the Associated Press, are planning to charge those enlisted men with that civilian's death 6 weeks ago west of Baghdad.
The eight men under investigation are being held in the brig at the Camp Pendleton Marine Base here in California. They served in Iraq with the 3rd Battalion, 5th Marine Regiment. Another group of Camp Pendleton Marines is currently under investigation in the Haditha case. That involves the death of as many as two dozen Iraqi civilians. Those Marines are part of the same battalion, but a different regiment.
At CBS's Steve Futterman, correspondent Sandra Hughes says that Haditha case has resulted in military action. Three officers have been relieved of their command.
All three commanding officers have been reassigned to non-leadership duties here. One of them says it makes his blood boil to be blamed for what he calls a massacre when he wasn't even in Haditha that day.
CBS correspondent Kimberly Dozier spent a lot of time in Iraq, but this week became the story when she and her crew fell victim to a roadside attack. Her cameraman and her sound engineer died, but Kimberly's hanging on and is actually doing better.
Doctors at the military hospital here have now taken Kimberly off the ventilator. She's now breathing for herself, and that means she'll be able to speak to her family for the first time since the explosion. Today, she was able to communicate by writing messages. Her parents, who are here with her, say she's been making extraordinary progress, and are heartened by how much her condition has improved. Elaine Cobb, CBS News, Landstuhl, Germany.
When the winds start blowing and the rain falls sideways, most people know to get the heck out of Dodge. But there are still many who choose to ride out a hurricane. How about you, there in Louisiana? What are you going to do next time a storm comes a-knocking?
I'm planning on packing up and leaving.
When they say get out, we get out. Time to go.
Today is the start of the hurricane season. In New Orleans, the Army Corps of Engineers released its report on that city's failed levees and says they were built using bad data. How are those levees coming along now?
We have made substantial progress.
They say the rebuilt levees should hold out a lot longer. Pratik Kohli is one smart dude, and boy, can he spell. He's so good, he made it to the National Spelling Bee.
This is my first year making it to National, so I'm pretty happy with what I've done so far.
All right, smarty pants, think you're good at spelling? Spell, oh, like I could even say it, nasopharyngeal.
Nasopharyngeal.